participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Generally call me GW.
Halloween spooks outside my window.
Fancy date you got here.
Halloween spooks behind the tree.
I'm your father.
I wish that the children could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween
spooks. Woo! Look out! Look out!
Outside my window frame.
Cut the jibber jabber.
Well now, Your Honor. He did?
You're a goddamn genius!
Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me?
Well, what is he admitting to?
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad. I bet you in this one could feel you on top of me.
Impugned? What does that mean?
I'll make it feel really good for you, hon.
Well, just for the tally books, what did you say?
Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me?
I'll give those Indians a fair trial.
Come in. William Castle, the producer of this motion picture, has a question for you.
Do you believe in ghosts? Some people believe in them. Others do not. Personally, I do. And I feel sure that when you leave this theater, you too will believe in ghosts. Now, when you came in, you were given a special ghost viewer like this. And here's how it works. Would you please change the color of the screen? Thank you. You must only use it when the screen changes to this kind of a bluish color. Then you raise the viewer to your eyes, and you look at the screen through it. If you believe in ghosts, you look through the red part of the viewer. If you do not believe in ghosts, you look through the blue part.
I'm not here.
Would you please change the color again? Thank you.
Next.
Now, when the screen resumes its normal color, like this, remove the viewer from in front of your eyes until the next time the screen becomes blue.
What is it?
Oh, one more thing. If someone sits down next to you during the picture, it would be helpful if you would show him or her how the viewer should be used.
I beg pardon?
And remember, if you believe in ghosts, look through the red part. If you don't believe in ghosts, look through the blue.
I can't hear.
Happy haunting. Goodbye for now.
I beg your pardon.
Shall we go?
This town needs an enema.
Welcome to the Don and Michael Show.
I hope you're rotten hell, you loser!
Don.
Geronimo! You suck! You don't deserve a car!
Frank O'Mara.
That's what I love about these high school girls, man. I get older, they stay the same age.
Hey, don't take those, man.
The American's favorite jerky.
I'm so racist.
We're back.
That's it, right?
That's a good one.
Nice and short. That's what we all agree on. Even the boss. Short and sweet.
Everybody likes it. That's the best mix of a homemade album.
I like that guy. I like that Antonio Banderas sound like at the beginning.
And I know that. That is the sound of Paranoid.
The Don and Mike Show.
Thank you. Paranoid.
Look out!
Don't forget the motto on our show.
Look. The key for me is to keep expectations low.
Right.
Cut the jibber jabber.
call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Thinking you might want to have sex with me?
Effing C-word. Suck on that, losers.
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad.
What? I hate you. I hate your big fat ball head. Ass.
Out.
I'm on my second beer.
Thank you!
You are incredibly immature. You can suck this.
Say hi to my old friend, the Strap-On.
You're a goddamn thief.
Let's get this going now.
I'm bad you want me again, man.
Jack.
If I get any worse, the Johnson office won't pass it.
Whatever, Eve.
Oh, I love the cool of the gang.
I could probably teach you a few things. Like, you know, some positions and moves.
Right, I know that.
Cut the jibba jabba.
Jungle Boogie.
Oh, look out!
All right,
here's Adam. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
Oh, boy.
Thank you, Big Ed.
You can tell by the smell. This is the Don Mike Show, and it's a new episode, everybody. And it's, let me see, on this Thursday, and it's 10/19/06. It's October 19th. The phone number, you just heard him. 877-365-3636. One number from anywhere in North America, including Canada. Let me see, we're on the web. You can go to our website, hear us on the internet, DonandMikeWebsite.com. You can also send your fan mail there. All the voluminous fan mail that we get during the show. Email us at DonandMikeWebsite.com. And, oh, yeah, it's iTunes.
Oh, yeah.
There.
Yeah.
And it's now updated every day. And CBS is very happy with this. The number of people that have subscribed has gone up to such an extremely large number that they're now able to put a commercial on both the front and the end of every day's podcast.
You know that makes them smile.
That's
they love that. Enjoy.
That's what they want.
They love that.
So let me see. That's how you can get a hold of us. Telephone, email, podcast, tired.
Yes.
Jesus.
Our Savior.
Oh.
We had a...
eyes hanging out of head.
We had a Reno-style show last night that is, in this reporter's humble opinion, closer to a Las Vegas-style show than we've come in a long time.
Yes. A lot of entertaining was done last night. Lots of entertaining.
Lots of things went into this happy mixture of people who were at Hooters last night.
Mm-hmm.
First off, the show always works better when Mike is slightly hammered.
Yes. You know, I could argue, I could tell you that's not true, but I didn't have, you know, I had a good time with the first one that we did at Hooters. I didn't have nearly as much fun as I did last night.
I know.
You know, even though I felt bad by like 10:15, you know, and I was getting my premature hangover at that hour, you know, as I was headed home.
What, Robbie?
Was it just me or did it really hit you the moment you took the stage? Because you seemed absolutely fine.
No, it didn't. No, that's not true. Because it hit me really when we were parking. That's a good time to say it, is it? No, I'm kidding. Of course.
No, but yes, really.
Of course, it hit me when I got to the stage.
As soon as you got under those hot lights.
Yes. It was as soon as I got those hot lights that were hitting me in the midriff. Uh-huh. That's when that's
belly warmers.
No, it really hit me the first time the power went out.
We had a couple of technical problems. We managed to work our way through it.
We did indeed.
If you
remember when the power went out the first time, that's when I really went into second gear. I really enjoyed myself.
We really didn't need the PA system.
Didn't need a PA at all.
Because Mike was happy just screaming, just screaming at people.
You can hear him.
Laddie!
Oh.
So if you were there, here are the ground rules. Of course, you can call in and we can talk about it. But there are some things we can't talk about.
Yes.
Like the very first, let's say, 10 minutes
yes.
of what we discussed last night.
Right.
We can't talk about.
No, we can't say a word about
Sorry about that. Don't mean to be secretive. Don't mean to be exclusive. Don't mean to leave you out of anything. But really, you had to be there to hear it.
Not a word, my sweet. But I must say, even though we can't talk about it, you know, I was impressed with your eloquence on the subject last evening. I thought you really took it in a different direction, and I think everybody left there with a greater understanding of the subject matter.
So we started with a brief informative Q&A. Well, really, there were no Q's or A's. It was really just...
I don't believe we took any questions.
It was more like a lecture.
Yeah.
Started out with a brief lecture, and we noticed that the crowd of people has been larger every single time that we've been out doing these shows. Mm-hmm. However, hold on a second. We might have someone who was there. Hold on, let's see. Terry, hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, how are you?
Hello, Terry.
Doing great. Hi, Terry.
Hi, I'm calling from out of Sacramento, and I know you think we're a bunch of boneheads.
yes, we do.
What?
And I wonder, why are you advertising for a show November 31st when there is no November 31st?
Mike, why do we pick on people from Sacramento so much?
I have no idea.
Why do we pick on people?
I must exercise a little bit of fairness here.
Yes. No!
And I must ask the young lady, how young are you, ma'am?
I'm 51.
No, I'm sorry, it doesn't count.
No.
You will get no sympathy.
All right, I never do this. I'm turning on you, Sacramento.
Yes!
What?
Ready? Now, I don't maintain that I'm one of the miracles, I'm one of the pips, I'm one of the temptations, I'm one of the Soul Train dancers. I'm not an NSYNC, I wasn't a solid gold dancer, I'm not on Dancing with the Stars. I can't dance like Mike and like Rob does.
Not here's, that dance.
Here's my Sacramento dance, though.
What is he doing? He's getting on his stool, he's putting the microphone down at crotch level. Oh, no.
No, he's not baking.
What are you doing? My God. Oh, you're rubbing it.
No, hold on.
Oh, God. No. I don't want to see
what is
that.
He doing? Today.
He's putting the microphone somewhere.
Wait. Oh, God. This is horrible. This is a very horrible, horrible way to start this program.
All the humanity.
This is the... Oh, my God. Oh, look what he's doing.
Ladies and gentlemen... The microphone is in Don's pants.
No, it's not, Mike.
We can say that, Rob, can't we?
No, it's not.
Where is it? No, you're saying no, it's not, but yes, it is. How you doing, ma'am? You still with us? Ma'am?
Oh, hey,
well. Oh, no.
You know, hold on with this thing back.
Did the dumb woman hang up?
That's a shame. That's what you did for trying to dance. With a lady.
Did we do the November 31st gag 2 or 3 days ago?
Yes.
At least three.
Three.
Yes.
And repeated it.
Yeah. And repeated it again.
Right. And repeat, rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat again.
Right.
Well, I hope you enjoyed my interpretation of the Sacramento dance. Like I said, it's more of a, I consider myself to be a performance artist. Not so much a dancer.
Do you wash your hair twice when I said rinse, repeat, and rinse, and rinse and repeat again? Do you repeat? Do you put the shampoo and rinse out and then do it one more time?
You're silly. We've had this discussion, and yes, I do.
When did we have this discussion?
I don't remember that.
Because Bob said the same thing. Bob said that he rinses and then conditions.
Once a week, I repeat. The rest of the time, just the single shampooing.
Okay. Just check it.
But I do use conditioning.
I do it twice every time. Why'd you ask?
I
had the microphone in my pants. What made you think? How I might have shampooed my hair on my head?
For some particular reason, I was thinking about hygiene. I was thinking about hygiene, so you do.
I'm the only person that uses this microphone. It's fine for me. And can I tell you something?
Hmm?
No, I'm not kidding.
What about when Joe's hosting Best Of?
Well, then Joe's going to be smelling the cologne that I have. Joe will smell the cologne that I have on my crotch.
Oh, speaking of cologne on the crotch.
Oh.
What? Didn't you see what he was doing when we walked in?
Who?
When we walked into Hooters last night. Our compadre, Mr. Sex Machine.
I remember what you thought you saw.
He was giving a spritz, we thought. Remember when we walked into the building?
Oh, right. You know, it's beautiful. The conclusions you guys jumped to. I was actually rifling through my briefcase.
Oh, you were? I thought you were really spraying your crotch.
I was not as you
That's
thought.
That's what it looked like, bud.
It sure looked like that.
No, and listen, don't be ashamed of it. What I was just saying is, when I was getting ready for work today, what guy doesn't do this? And I don't know why I do this. I got the pss, pss, stuff, spray stuff, the cologne.
Right. Axe body spray?
No, no. although I do carry that in my...
That's what all the kids like.
In my automobile.
Right.
You bet. I got that Axe stuff everywhere because...
That stuff lingers. God, that stuff is like putting on like cologne glue.
If you just put just a brief little... on, just not a lot.
Right. It lingers longer.
And you know me, I wear too much cologne. I hear that all the time. You're
so you weren't spritzing?
No, I was not.
But, hold on.
Yeah?
When I was getting out of the shower today, it is part of my routine.
You give a little spritz down there?
Down there. You never know.
Yeah, but it's not something I would ever do anywhere someone might see me do it. So I'm not saying I never do it. I just wasn't doing it at that time.
Especially your two buddies.
That's right. Who are predisposed to look for that sort of thing.
No, no. Hold on. Not predisposed.
I saw a man thrusting some sort of spray can into his crotch.
We all pulled into the parking lot behind Hooters in tandem last night.
In Hooters, where really no one can see you.
Mike and I parked off... Mike and I parked off in this, not a fire lane, but...
It wasn't a fire lane, but it was, away from the parking spaces, because the parking spaces were blocked off by beer kegs.
Now, Buzz got his car in there, and Mike and I were waiting for Buzz so we could all walk in together.
Right.
And it sure did appear as if... Buzz, I have to be honest, it looked like you were spraying your crotch. That's what it looked like.
What do you see in this ink blot?
Were you playing along when you said yes, I was?
Yes, I was just playing along when I said yes, I was.
We took it to heart.
Why did you say yes, you were?
I didn't think it would be that unusual.
Because sometimes it's fun to feed your fantasies.
fantasy.
Our fantasy.
Yeah, right.
Our big fantasy.
Our fantasy.
Yeah, Mike and I both incidentally worked it.
I know.
We were hiding behind the bush going, hey, look at Buzz spraying his crotch.
Let's take the facts as they are. You do go commando, and perhaps you were looking for a little freshness down there.
No, not needed. Already fresh.
No, of course I
fresh
forgot.
Fresh when I left the house.
Of course.
Already needed.
I forgot. 20 hours. Before.
Yeah, because you don't have a broadcast day wearing your dungarees with just your kibbles and bits rubbing against them all day.
Rubbing.
There's no shaved Parmesan in your corduroys at the end of a broadcast day, Buzz.
Surprisingly, no.
He is clean as a whistle. Well, we say that all the time, and we mean it. He's clean.
Every sense of the word. You know what this is? This is just some sort of cannabis-fueled fantasy.
Oh, Lord.
Higher than a kite.
Lord Almighty.
I mean, he may or may not have sprayed something anywhere, but now people can take him at his word.
We thought you were spraying your crotch, and when you said you were,
No. Well, I don't remember anything, Buzz, because I was loaded.
Yeah. Well, you were not all the way loaded.
No, I certainly wasn't.
Just right.
I thought you acknowledged it. That's what I thought. We said, hey, Buzz, were you spritzing down there?
Just playing along.
Oh, okay.
So
he wouldn't tell us if he was.
So it was a good show because we were looser. We had a great crowd, a huge crowd of people.
Right.
We had a few technical problems in the beginning, which always loosened things up.
Right.
Mike was a little lewd.
Wonderful.
Made it good, brought him out of his shell a little bit.
Yes, it did.
There were a couple of things that happened that I thought were interesting. One was the sexuality that came out of Robert Wadham Spiewak.
Yes.
Kaboom.
Now listen.
He was wound up.
It is part of our patter, platter, chatter.
Mm-hmm.
To talk nasty, to talk vile and disgusting
about
body parts and things that people do with the body parts.
Well, we get it out of our systems. What we can't say here, we can say in a room full of adults. And It's a liberating experience.
And when you're at a joint like Hooters, it takes about 5 minutes for people to realize that they can eat, if they choose to, while they're hearing this type of...
Yes, it's language. It's all it is. And a few little descriptive scenarios. Nothing that will prevent you, I think, from really enjoying those wings.
But we were having a pretty frank discussion about sex and about women and about pleasure and... mentioned that Rob is kind of asexual.
Right.
And then he got up on stage and, wow.
He was letting everybody know just what a sexual animal he really is.
I just wanted to show that I could fuck.
And you did so. I mean, you really sort of kind of did so.
You trying to gross those out. I mean, I'm used to hearing everybody else.
Well, he normally goes we discussed the fact that he normally
goes the opposite direction of anything that really steers itself into a sexual arena.
Rob was,
show.
Rob was very sexually explicit last night on stage.
I really believe, and you correct me if I'm wrong, that the Hooters girls got you kind of ramped up last night.
Just me?
Not well. I mean, no. I mean, see, don't distance yourself from it. Hold did on. They or didn't
no,
they?
No, they did. On. I right, thought that right. was a tremendous flock of wait service
block.
Last night.
Block.
And
he's back in the studio again.
Block. Yeah. What's not block. To like? And perhaps I was inspired to use verbs that I wouldn't normally use, and in fact might result in my firing on the show.
It was
should
a
I use them here?
Delightful pack of Hooters girls
yes.
that we have.
I had.
Delightful quiver of Hooters girls that were there.
I had a good time with one particular Hooters girl. Was sitting with a bunch of people from the radio station, a bunch of listeners.
Yep.
Towards the end, one of these Hooters girls came up, real cute, kind of looked like Tina Fey.
Oh, the woman in glasses. Yeah, I remember her.
So she was standing there, and she had like a picture, and she wanted it signed. And I said something to her. You know, I wasn't even thinking. It was just like I said, I said, no offense to the other Hooters girls. I mean, you really are, you're the best looking Hooters girl in here.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, thank you. You know, my dad listened to you guys way back when you started. And,
womp, 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 womp.
And I said to her, I didn't even give it two thoughts. I wasn't drunk. I said, oh, that's great. I said, well, maybe you could call your dad. He would like to come down here and S my D. I'll give her credit. She laughed.
Sure. Yeah.
She laughed.
You meant it all in good fun.
She laughed.
Right.
You know, I said, I don't know if all you Hooters girls got together or not.
Oh, you have to emphasize dad. Maybe your dad would like to come down and S.
what did I say?
Just the way you said it. I wanted, because it was kind of directed at her, and she. I'm glad she had a good sense of humor.
No, she got what I was inferring.
Sure, sure.
And I
got it too. I didn't say that, but I got it from another blonde one that said my dad's a big fan. I hate.
I
that.
Said there's about five Hooters waitresses. Very nice when they come up and say, you know, hi, like the show very much. How about a picture, and then
I signed, I think, one or two pictures for a dad.
Yeah.
From the Hooters girls, which, you know, I mean, it's reality. It's the way of the world.
A guy who was maybe 25, and he said, hi, I'm me, and this is my girlfriend's mom.
No.
Yes.
I don't remember that.
Yes, I got that.
Really?
Yeah. It was. And the
well,
mom,
we're a multi-generational and, show. I think we've proven that.
And the mom was kind of hot. Cougary, milfy. Yeah. Very milfy.
Well, I don't remember. I don't remember much of last night. I don't really remember anything. I remember you at the car.
Great.
I remember you at the car, Buzz.
it was early. Let's see if you remember this one, Mike.
Okay.
This is a good one.
Oh, no, here it comes. No, I remember everything, so.
No, you'll like this one.
Okay.
One of our favorite gags sometimes on the air is to just turn the microphones off and leave Buzzes on.
Mm-hmm.
Right, just to see what he'll do.
Yeah,
because invariably Buzz just kind of—it's his nature. He shuts down.
Right.
He doesn't know if we're goofing with him, if we're mad at him. If he doesn't really always know how to play to that situation, and that makes it funnier.
We enjoy that, and we've done it. You know, over the years, we've done it on occasion.
So we brought him up on stage last night after all this build-up, and we've been up there for about 40 minutes. We brought him up, and we said, "Well, let's give him a microphone. What do you want to say tonight, Buzz?" And as Buzz got up on the stage, Mike and I left.
Acting as one mind.
And we walked all the way back through the kitchen exit.
We went all the way into the kitchen.
Out of sight. Completely out of my vision range.
And at that point, you know, both Mike and I are laughing like little schoolgirls back there going, he's out there by himself now.
We had no idea what you were going to do, but we thought it might be a little awkward and fun. But
imagine
our surprise when you got the jump on us.
Here's how long Mike and I were able to contain ourselves.
Yes.
Because on the way back there, this is like the discussion. We got to leave him out there at least 2 minutes, mm-hmm. 2 or 3 minutes.
All right. Right.
You know what? Maybe we'll take a leak or something, then we'll go back on stage.
Right.
I swear to Christ, Buzz, 30 seconds. Said, let's just peek and see
let's
how
take
he's
a look.
Doing.
And we were so disappointed as we looked, and you had already vacated the stage.
We looked, and there's about 300 people just staring at an empty stage.
You had gotten up there and gotten off as soon as you got on that stage.
I learned from the masters, just leave is the way to...
No, not fair.
No. You only leave when you've got somebody... What you should have done if you wanted to leave was call up Joe Ardinger or something and leave him on the stage.
Yes, leave him with a hot foot.
In hindsight, I wish I'd done that. No, I didn't think you were, you know, mad at me or really, I knew you were messing with me.
You couldn't do it with Bobo. If you brought Willard Scott up there, he'd be up there for an hour and a half.
No, I'm especially last night. Hi, I'm Rob. I'm finally free to talk about sex.
Let's talk for a second, shall we? And Rob would stand up there. Even if he had nothing to say, Rob would stand up there for an hour and a half.
There have been a couple of times where I didn't, for whatever reason, maybe a shortage of mics, I didn't even get a chance to get up, you know, to say the hi to people.
That's why.
And he loves that moment. You do love that moment.
I do very much. And then suddenly I realize I've got perhaps a number of minutes. So, you know, I think I fired off a couple of jokes.
Now, I didn't hear. We didn't hear what you said.
You fired off a couple of jokes.
Right.
Could you please rewind and tell us what you said?
I think my opening line was a thank you. The woman I love couldn't be here tonight. She's home with her husband.
I didn't know you had it.
I've got his material ready.
I didn't know you had it. Well, that's good.
And something else. And then I decided, okay, well, here's a move. While I think, and you know, maybe I can come up with some funny stuff if I get some help. I'll take some questions and do some answers.
So, was it the one joke and then right to the questions?
Right. A couple. And then right to the questions.
Mike, it had to be because it was under 1 minute the time that we went back there. We're not exaggerating that.
And that's when the crickets came out.
So when you Q&A. You asked for any questions, you didn't have any questions, and then what did you say?
I said,
crying and ran off.
Thanks for coming, good night. And left the stage.
Suck on that, losers.
Yeah.
Wow. Wowsy woo woo.
So the time was had by all.
It was
half the time that was the time that was had by all was very, very good. And
so a really big thank you to everybody because everyone could not be nicer. It's nice to do that because it validates what we do. I like going out and doing that.
And besides the fact that we had so many really very nice people patiently wait to say hello and get the picture taken and everything else and people saying, you know, that they love the show and that they can't get through the day without the show, which is always very nice to hear. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed hearing so many people last night say, this is the best show, the best live show that they had. We've got some people that have gone like every little pissant place we've been to.
Right. I do have to apologize to one person.
But a lot of people said, this is really a good show, and it was because we had a really good audience, and we had a lot of people that were willing to come up on stage and let their inhibitions go.
Yeah, we did have good sports that played our reindeer games. They really did. Buzz, you're going to have to help me here, because I know that I was curt with one particular listener who, when we walked out to the patio,
right,
and he had like his shirt open or something like that, there was a guy that wanted a hug or something, I don't know, he wanted me to sign something, and we walked right by him. I know you're not going to give me any goddamn help. All right. There was a guy that Buzz had signed something for him.
Oh, his chest.
There. Thank you. That's what it is, his chest. And he had his nipples exposed.
Yes.
And he said, Mike, sign my chest like Buzz did. And I believe I had the very simple two-word response.
F you.
Yes. And, of course, he showed
his chest. Let's just check. Is that... That's the correct response, Mike.
Yes.
You move on to the next round.
Buzz, I didn't see him. Did he laugh when I said that?
I didn't see his reaction to it, and I didn't hear your response.
I was walking by very quickly, and it was one of these moves where I think he had his shirt open.
Or lifted
and
it up.
Said, Buzz, but you signed his chest,
I did, yes.
And he wanted me to, I guess, sign righty, and he had the shirt exposed, and I believe it was just very quick. F you. And I kept walking.
I had one good drunk guy. He looked a little like a taller version of Buzz. He had curly hair.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he chased me to the parking lot as I was leaving. He said, you've got to come here because I'm going to tell you a joke. Hmm? He said, you got to come here because I'm going to tell you a great joke.
Drunk guy. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, God. Okay. So I walk him back and get to the patio. And he says, he looks at me, okay. And he looks at me and he gives me this. And I really, it just smells like the Miller Brewing Company. And he says, okay, this is a joke. And you can use this if you want to use this joke. You can use it. And he says, the guy who answers his phone. I said, Joe? Have you ever called him Joe Hardinger? And I said, all the time. He says, okay.
Good night.
Good night. So greetings to him.
Ah, everybody wants to play.
They all love to play.
Also, I'm amazed by the people and the distance that they'll come for a stupid show like that again.
Right.
I was amazed, and I asked people really for their driver's license. Because someone says, we came all the way from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
What I said was, show me the license. Then there was a guy who said, I came here from Las Vegas. I said, I find that impossible to believe.
Yeah.
Pulled out his driver's license, Las Vegas resident. The couple from Sacramento, California.
Wow.
What?
We're very nice
from
Sacramento. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Like both Sacramento and Las Vegas.
Yeah. Right.
That's great.
And lots from Pennsylvania, lots from Baltimore.
Yeah, the Pennsylvania people that listen to the show, I mean, they drive to these things down here. I love that.
Hello there. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Good afternoon. May I reminisce?
Yeah.
Yes, feel free.
Okay, well, I was at one of your shows down by BWI Airport one time at the cantina, and you had some very nice young ladies that did some dipping of some cigars. And the reason I'm saying this is a lot of your fans helped make the show, because the two gentlemen that came up to try to smoke those cigars, one wound up eating it.
Yeah, now see, we can't do that anymore.
No, there's no one that will have that show anymore.
But your shows are fantastic, and your fans are great because they make your shows even fun.
I understand what you're saying, and it's a well taken point that
interactive program.
When we did the cigar thing, mm-hmm. and that would really, I mean, we had girls up on stage doing the Monica Lewinsky thing with a cigar, and then we'd get a guy to come up and smoke it, and of course the guy would end up eating it or doing something else.
Something
with it.
Horrible. Something horrible. I still have nightmares.
Something wonderful with it. It was a different time.
What's one man's wonder is another man's horror.
Different time.
Totally different time. Different time.
Yeah, it's a different time.
But the people at Hooters are very cool.
Yeah,
and we want to thank
the managers
them.
There. Terrific. Great guys. Really, really nice.
So anyway, it was a good show. Thanks for coming. If you were there, it was nice to see you. Let's keep everything that was said between us and blah, blah. Thank you for coming out. Hello. Don and Mike show.
Hi, how you doing?
We're doing very well, thank you.
How you doing?
I'm fine. Is this Joe?
No, baby, this is Don and Mike.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. I didn't mean to be on the air.
Oh, you're on air.
Welcome,
baby. You're on air, baby.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I was not calling.
Do not worry, baby.
Oh, I won a prize of the day. Well, since I'm talking to you, I might as well ask you the question.
Okay.
Hello, Gladys. Please.
Act away. A-X-E. Act body spray. Act us in anything. All fun is all fun. It's act.
Please stop.
Act us anything.
Go ahead. All right.
Lordy.
Falling off the cool green leaves.
Oh, my gosh.
How are you?
I'm fine, Jer. How are you today?
Yeah, just great, Jer.
Leno. Letterman.
Montel.
All right, baby, what's up?
Mike Douglas.
Stop!
It reminds me, last night, much to Rob's chagrin, there was quite a few black folks.
How did the...
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
I know how he cares about us, so how did he take
quite,
that?
And quite a few black folks there
he was
last
red-faced.
Night.
He was red-faced all night long.
Good, I'm glad.
One guy in particular that came up and started glomming on me and like really hanging. And at one point I said, dude, what are you doing? And he said, he was absolutely serious. He said, I need to talk to you for that. I said, sure, what's up? He said, you're adopted, right? I said, yeah. He said, I'm looking at you. I'm looking at your mannerisms.
Uh-oh.
I'm looking at the way you talk and the way you walk. He said, I am not asking you, one of your parents had to be black.
Yeah, baby.
You know, and,
there it is.
And,
you know, did you latch on to that? Are you going to hold on to that one?
Yeah.
I said, no! No! I said, Rob! That man! He called me a bad name! I'm white!
Oh, you want to ask your question, honey?
What, Rob?
Was it the gentleman with the pierced lip?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, he said a lot of things to me. I couldn't make them out.
This lady's trying to ask her question.
The guy with the red hat.
He always makes his comments. I do listen to you, and I know how he feels about us, but yeah. I'm glad we were well represented last night.
Very, very well
represented. If that listener was right, won't you feel bad, Rob, huh? What if my mommy or daddy was black?
What if they were? Welcome to the Klan.
So to speak.
Yes, so to speak.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, what's your question?
What's that?
I won a prize the other day. And do I have to come and pick it up, or do they mail it?
No, baby, you got to go pick it up.
You got to pick it up, baby.
You got to go to the North Pole, baby.
What's the prize?
North Pole. What'd
what's
you
the prize you
I won $100 being in Target.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you did a great job.
Yeah.
We're going to mail you, don't we mail it out in nickels?
How's that work, Rob?
I think we send you nickels.
Actually, I think it's...
you will get a release form in the mail in about 7 to 10 business days, and it'll be mailed to you.
It's okay, though, because the nickels are all rolled.
That's right.
You and I can take it to the little corn machine at Shoppers and
right.
Turn it
into I love her
like,
voice.
If
you
like,
I love her voice.
If you like, we can't give you $100 worth of food stamps.
I love her voice.
Well, you did a great job at the Target. It was perfect, actually.
Yeah.
You were the lady that did like the textbook example of how to play that game.
Yeah.
And you told me not to be too loud. And when I hung up the phone, the guy said, "Hey, I knew exactly what you were doing because I listened to them also."
Ah, there you go.
He was laughing because he knew also. But thank you all. You all made
all right,
my
baby.
Day.
God bless you.
Hold on, we'll tell you how to get some nickels. Hold on a second.
My Gladys.
Really, that guy with the red hat did say that to me last night. Seriously.
Really?
Yeah.
I've looked at my charts, and I don't think so.
Your charts.
Hello, Don, my
charts in your special basement, your sub-basement.
I said to the guy, I said, I'd be cool with that. I mean, I had a real discussion with him. I said, I'd be fine with it, really. I said, but look at me. I said, I don't look like even the mixture. And then he said, like, well, what about Heinz Ward? And I said, well, what about Heinz Ward? He said, well, Heinz Ward is like half black, half Polynesian.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, right, but Heinz Ward kind of has that, like, Polynesian look about him.
Maybe, did he think maybe you could be an octoroon?
Now we're going to get into your chart
There's
again.
No need for name calling. Now Rob is going into his chart.
What
now.
Is
his
your
wall
chart,
chart that he has, what? His racial wall chart.
That would be 1/8 African-American.
1/8.
If you were a quarter, you would be...
Now you're 1/8 Jewish, right?
Right, but that's not the same thing.
Now, are you 1/8 Catholic?
I probably more than that.
June.
Give me the pie chart again.
Okay, you could be African American. You could be mulatto, which is half.
50-50.
You could be a quadroon, which is a quarter, or you could be an octoroon.
Why do I feel like we're back in like the 1860s now? For some particular reason,
it's
whenever
the way he learned
wherever
it.
He goes on this, I believe that we're like in some horrible Civil War film.
I believe he's giving out some type of actual.
Are these terms that are really used?
Of course, yes,
they're true. They're true.
They're true.
I like it when you agree.
Thanks
that.
For backing me up, Buzz.
I like it, Rob, when you give me that really serious look.
Buzz's face.
That's when I can't take you seriously.
Well, that's where Rob, like, puts on his professor hat.
He does. He goes, I'm serious. And he like, bores at me with those eyes of his. I'm very serious. Quadroon.
Well, you're all looking at me like I'm trying to tell you about where to find a unicorn.
Hello.
This is all stuff rooted in fact.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. You
part
are,
of our history.
You are on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. Howdy.
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
Very well. Hi there.
I think that 1/8 is called high yellow. I'm not sure. But I just want to
hold on. Was that a racial slur?
I'm sorry.
Isn't that a racial slur? No. See, you can't play. Leave the driving to the the professionals.
Leave it to us.
Please. I heard a story about that the other day, I think, on the news.
About what?
What he was saying. Something like high yellow that's horrible. And, you know, they're talking about the Yellow Rose of Texas. And how it might be a racially insensitive song. They did a whole news story on it. Well, we call 1/8. Let me tell you.
Hi, yellow.
Yeah.
I've heard that before, I guess.
I haven't. I didn't. And it was all based on this analysis of the Yellow Rose of Texas, which is, correct me if I'm wrong, that is the state song of Texas.
Well, yeah, but they've changed all the lyrics now.
Oh, they've changed the lyrics? Okay.
You have the original lyrics.
I have it in my computer.
Rob has the original.
The box set.
Of course he does.
The box set.
He's got that. It's right next to his DVD of Birth of a Nation.
Hello. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Look it up.
Hey, Don.
Yeah, turn your radio down, please.
Thank you, sir.
No problem.
Hey, why don't you just take a genealogy test? It's only like $350 and we all know who you are then.
You know, it's not quite that easy. I mean, we were approached at one time by somebody online with something like that. Where
right.
Like $500. I think maybe even.
Have they made any like progress on that now?
I think even, you know who was into that. Frida was into that.
That's right.
Before she passed away, that right. She actually sent in and they swab your
yeah,
you had to swab your mouth. And what we got back was something that was just very broad and
you thought it was. I remember you thought it was a ripoff.
Yeah, no pun intended. Very very vanilla. It didn't tell you anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, they have improved it quite a bit now, and quite frankly, I had taken it and found out that I was black and Indian and Asian. And
I'd love to do it. I'd love to do it sometime. Yeah, that'd be fun. I mean, if you could really convince me that it was done, you know, and it's more sophisticated and they could really break it down, I'd love to do it.
Indian dots or Indian teepees?
I love these going.
Oh.
All these labels. Well, Rob's got his notebook out.
Hello, Don. My show.
All the phosphorus.
He's going to be putting his white doctor's coat on soon.
His Dr. Giggle suit.
Yeah, with that big, gigantic thing in the middle of the forehead, that big light reflector. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I was wondering if you've seen the movie Domino.
I have.
Domino, I have not, Mike.
Oh, man, that Keira Knightley in Domino is hot, hot.
It's hot.
It's now playing on, like, HBO and stuff.
Right. What about it?
They got a funny scene where some black gal goes up there and has a chart on the Hispanics and black mixed races and stuff. It's hilarious. Watch it on HBO.
All right, thank you.
I probably don't remember that part. I remember Keira Knightley's
A.
That's what I remember.
The chorus.
Mickey Rourke's in that too. The slurring Mickey Rourke. With the plastic surgery Mickey Rourke.
What did I write down?
Oh, yeah.
I wrote this in the car today on the way in. I keep cards and, like, Sharpies in my car.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to take an aggressive driver seriously in a Prius.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
That's all. More.
Non-threatening.
That's all I want to say.
Right.
That if you're driving a Prius, good for you. Mm-hmm. You're doing something for the environment.
Yep.
You care. You're saving an S-load of money on gasoline. I'm sure the car goes 70, 80
right.
miles an hour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But really, there's just something when you want to come in. I saw one particular guy today on the Beltway here in D.C. who was just weaving in and out, bobbing in and out.
That's not right.
And I was about five car lengths behind him, and I was watching him, and, you know, he was right on people's bumpers. And then at one point, as it turns out, through the flow of traffic, I had passed him on the right side, ended up making the move to the left-hand lane. And the next thing I know, he's on my ass, and I'm looking in the rearview mirror, and I'm just... You cannot be an aggressive driver in a Prius.
No, you really have to go, like, tops, wouldn't you say, 5 miles over the speed limit? And just keep it right at that speed?
No, understand what I'm saying. It's not the speed of the car. The car was, if anything, the guy wanted to go faster.
Well, we're meant to pass those little insect cars.
Then the people were going. The car was trying to go faster. And the guy behind the wheel was a total jerk-off. Total, like... doing his hands in the air like, what the frig's going on? How come I can't get where I'm going? But
right.
the guy's driving a clown car. And he's
driving a car that advertises, I care about the planet and my fellow man. He shouldn't be an asshat behind the wheel.
Here's the thing. If, you know, I'm sorry, perception is reality. You are what you drive. If you're driving a beat-up Toyota Corolla, man, you could be the worst driver in the world. People get pissed at you. And you go,
you expect
hey,
it.
It's okay. I'm looking in the parking lot right now. I don't see any cars out there. I see a Honda station wagon.
Uh-huh.
There's a BMW station wagon. There's another Honda. There's an Accord. There's a Cadillac out there.
There's a Sebring that I'm looking at. There's a Saturn.
Okay.
There's a Saturn. Don't expect a lot of
stuff
from a Saturn driver.
But even a Saturn might.
Now, that red car down there, that's a car you expect
to
be a jerk.
Convertible.
The SL, the Mercedes SL.
But even in a Sinbad? Okay, Sinbad is on the screen. What does it say?
Oh, hold on a second. Why'd you put this to Richard?
Hey, guys.
Richard. Sinbad is a high yellow.
Richard Hayden?
I've actually heard Sinbad refer to himself as high yellow. It's a mulatto.
Okay, but that's done in the name of comedy.
That is true.
And he's referring to himself. These are the guys that really scare me. Right. The guys that scare you. Know, Rob, I mean, really.
Thank you, Dr. Mengele.
The guys that call in, you know. I've actually heard it, so it's completely justified. And that's why my name is, incidentally, Whitey Whitestone.
Hello. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Whitey Cartoon.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, I want to tell you guys were great last night.
Thank you.
Oh, nice. Glad you had your time.
I forgot. I didn't have time to do my Charlie impression, though.
Hello, this is Charlie.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's
thank
you.
Called.
Thanks. Oh, Charlie.
Thanks. I'm being very polite today. I wouldn't have been that way if you'd done that last night.
Bye-bye.
I know.
Thank you.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. He got his moment.
So here's the thing with the Prius and the guy that was the jerk in the Prius.
Right.
it's not the fact the car doesn't go fast. It does go fast. It's the fact that the car is so tiny.
Have you ever test driven one?
My son bought one.
Oh, so you've been behind the wheel of that one?
I'm very familiar with the Prius. It's a great car, but here's the thing. When you're out there on the
eight lane death strip.
Thank you, Mike.
Right.
When you're out on that thing and you're really driving like you're at the Daytona 500,
mm-hmm.
as people do,
as we all do,
everybody drives that way on a highway.
Like that, yeah.
It's I just found it. You know, I'm this is the first time I've ever discriminated against a car for reasons being. The car itself is not intimidating enough
not built for, it.
For you to be an aggressive driver,
right.
to be taken seriously
well,
as an aggressive driver,
right.
and certainly not an aggressive driver where you could honk and throw your hands in the air
be
and
dramatic.
Scream at people.
Well, you know, now that we're right in the teeth of it, and this is our season. This is our season for traffic around Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
We have the second worst traffic in the nation. I've always believed that the way the traffic patterns work around here, especially with all of us that drive from Maryland over to Virginia, they often have pace cars. Because the way it is it coagulates, and then it breaks free, and people go out of their minds, and it coagulates again, and then it breaks free again.
Right. And I'm trying to make this crystal clear about this Prius. When the guy was in front of me, and I noticed him driving...
Did he look like Larry David?
No, he was a guy. He was like a business guy. When this guy was like, he was multitasking. He had his Bluetooth in, and he was screaming at people. But on the back of his car, he had like a bunch of dots. What he had done was, you know, like those little dots that you put on file folders,
right?
That are different colors.
Yeah.
He'd gotten like a box of these things, and along the outline of the trunk, it was a white Prius. He had put like all of these dots. So maybe it wasn't his car. Maybe he was borrowing, like, his daughter's car or his wife's car.
Maybe that's why he was angry.
Yeah.
Rainbow colors?
No, around it was like, no, it wasn't a gay thing.
What are you saying?
It was,
why would anyone go there? I just wanted to...
I don't know. Maybe it was a girl's car. I don't know. That's just the message of the day from me to you.
Yeah. You're supposed to drive a Prius peacefully. You're supposed to be... If you're in
Thank
a Prius,
you, Mike,
you drive peacefully.
It's a hippie car.
Yeah. It is. And you should be, you know, peace, love. Let all the other people be the jerks. You know, the classic car... I would say that would be on the death strip. That would be the obnoxious car. As far as your SUVs, I'd go with your Chevy Suburban.
Yeah,
that's where you drive like
monster.
A maniac because you got them. Yeah, you're right. You said it perfect. You're literally driving a monster. Your Mustangs. You can go out of your mind. Go out of your mind.
Yeah,
with your
but
Mustang.
Really, no. You hit on it. Thank you. That crystallized it.
Right. Joe gives me the thumb up.
Aggressive driving with the Prius is like robbing a bank with a squirt gun. It's just not adequate.
It's not right.
Thank you.
It's flawed.
Thank you.
It's somehow flawed. You're absolutely right.
So
I would get 10 times angrier at a guy going crazy in a Prius.
They should make that part of the deal if you're going to buy that car.
They should have a governor on it.
Because what you're doing already by driving a Prius is saying to everybody, and I've seen plenty of people with a smug look on their face, I'm getting 60 miles in the gallon, and I care more about the environment than you do.
What is the mid-price? And I'm not talking about all the luxury cars and stuff and sports cars. What is the mid-priced car that would allow you to behave like, that you would expect somebody, not to be a bad driver, just to be an obnoxious
driver? A Honda Accord? You know what I mean? A Toyota?
Subaru WRX, one of those little...
Subaru, yeah.
A Subaru.
I mean, you know, even a Daihatsu? Is there still... They don't make Daihatsus anymore?
No.
What's
and minivans ought to just stay home.
Kia?
You drive one of those, just stay
Kia.
Home.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Kia's Kia. A good one.
Right.
Hyundai Sonata?
Those cars, you know, all those cars.
All of those are acceptable. Uh-huh. Even a Volkswagen Beetle could be an aggressive driver.
Don't you think all those cars like Hyundais and Kias are now, you know, everybody kind of used to look at them like we looked at Toyotas when they first came on the market, and now they are slowly but surely, you're seeing more of those than you are, you know,
Hyundai
some of the other cars.
Hyundai is a great car, but don't you think the Beetle
is
another hippie car?
Yeah, but you know what? I would say that if you're going to say who can drive aggressively, I would say the Volkswagen Beetle would have more street cred than the Prius.
Oh, absolutely.
Unless it was one of those Beetles that has the flower
like the Love Bug Beetle?
Yeah.
That doesn't. As soon as you put a Bippy on your Beetle, forfeit it.
Oh no, you're talking about like
Herbie the Love Bug.
Yeah, no,
the flowers. No,
the ones that. there are Volkswagen Beetles now that come with a flower vase that is actually built into the dashboard.
They all do. It's standard.
Really?
Yes, it's one of their selling points.
What faggy is that?
Bud vase.
And you know what else?
Is that the ones that have the guitar jack in them,
from
too?
From the great mind of
And
Bud
I saw that commercial you were talking about. That's John Mayer that's in that commercial.
There's three of
they
them.
They have different ones. Oh, they have different guys?
Yeah, they have Slash and a bunch of guys.
Okay, all right.
You know what else? Do you think it's retarded?
It's absurd, because, and also what the guy said about the guitar that they sell at Walmart. I think he's playing a different guitar. They're dubbing in a different guitar music on that.
And you know, no one else that should be able to drive aggressively is in a Cooper Mini.
Yep.
They should be in the right lane.
No, wait a minute.
No,
wait.
Disagree. Born supremacy. You are wrong.
Yeah, a Cooper Mini
Not only can they.
British kind of hot.
They have turned that into a thrill ride, my friend, at Gang's Dominion.
Even if they put the Union Jack flag on the rearview mirror. I mean, they decorate it like that.
Sorry, Rob. Mm-hmm. Wrong.
I don't know. It's foreign.
Note
I don't
it
like
down.
It.
Good try.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Thank you, Buzz.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. You're on the air.
Might want to turn that radio down a little bit.
Hello there.
Hi.
Can you turn your radio down, please?
Or are you boarding a plane right now?
I'm sorry. I just wanted to say that there's another reason to drive a hybrid car.
Yeah.
And that would be that you can get, at least in D.C., in the restricted lanes.
Well, I don't think anybody's arguing the merits of buying a hybrid.
No, honey.
It's how you behave when you're behind the wheel of that hybrid.
When you drive a hybrid, you are, specifically a Prius, you are not allowed to go above the speed limit.
Well,
you are not allowed to go out of the right-hand lane.
Right.
You must always use your blinker when you turn, and you can never drive aggressively. Never challenge a driver in another car.
Right.
In the Prius.
We're agreed on that point.
Well, I will get out of the right-hand lane.
Do you have are you a Prius owner?
No, but I have a hybrid.
Okay, what kind of hybrid do you have?
I have a Honda Civic.
Okay. See, now here's the
hybrid.
Thing. See, that car looks like the other Honda Civic. Go ahead. You want a tailgate? You want to give the finger? Make it happen, baby.
No, but you know what? I don't aggressively drive. I'm afraid someone else will have a gun. So,
you know what? I think if you have crystallized the main reason not to drive aggressively. You never know when there's somebody who's truly a psychotic.
Now, wouldn't that be a surprise if the guy in the Prius had a gun?
Oh, wouldn't that be amazing? That would just blow the whole thing.
That would
blow everybody's image of everything.
You would blow every stereotype.
Excuse me, officer. I was just passed by a Prius that was firing shots out the window. There's a great
story.
You know
what the cop would say to you? What, are you high?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Get out of here. No one with a Prius ever has a gun.
Can a Prius drive aggressively against someone in another Prius?
No.
They can't challenge each other?
No. Stop with your questions, Rob.
That's like a cat fight.
You know what?
Stop this.
It's like a girl's fight.
I don't give an S about the environment. I wanted to really get in the restricted lanes. That's why.
Well, that's not lost on the people that devised that law.
Right. After hearing your voice, I'd like to get in your restricted lane.
Whoa!
Yeah.
And what do you mean by that?
You know what I mean.
You know exactly what he means.
You know what I mean. What's the toll? What's the toll?
Too high for you to pay, my friend.
Oh!
Really?
Wow. You mean you don't have speed pass?
Nope.
Really?
No easy pass?
There's no easy pass at all.
Really?
Let's say that. Nope. No easy pass.
Who's the celebrity you most resemble?
I look like, everyone always says I look like, is Donna on the West Wing.
Donna on the, the blonde?
The blonde, yeah.
Well, she was kind of doughy-eyed, kind of like...
That would be me.
You're kind of doughy-eyed?
Yeah.
But in a sexy way or in just a dear way?
I mean, guys have always liked me.
That chick on the West Wing, though, I mean, I hope you're not really like her, because her character was always like, hi, Josh. Oh, how are you?
I know the one you're talking about. The long, straight blonde hair.
Right. I really want to sleep with you, Bradford Wendley, or whatever.
No. Do I sound like that?
No, you don't, actually. No. You sound a little more energetic.
I look like that. I don't sound like it at all.
Actually, she sounds like she might be on her way to the bakery.
Rob,
that's me, though.
Are you a fatty?
No.
Okay, see, Rob, you're wrong on that.
Rob's back to his... Rob's wallowing in the land of misogyny.
And from this crowd, you know, don't call me a fatty.
Oh, boy, you know what? You're an aggressive lass.
I am.
Yes,
she is fat.
You're trouble, aren't you? Rob says you are fat. And you know what? I'm strangely inclined to agree with him now.
No. I weigh, I think, 105 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah, let me just
ask you. You're 2 foot six.
Let me just ask you my one question.
Here's, what?
Here it comes.
Because I'm not like, when did he leave you?
When, I'm sorry?
When did he leave you?
My husband left me about 3 years ago.
Are you serious?
John.
Thank you.
Christian Geronimo.
The amazing
Thank
Johnny.
Thank you.
Whoa.
Goodbye. 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 Goodbye.
We need a break.
I know we do, but we got, hold on, I need to correct
that makes
here.
Up for all my smoker calls.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Domingo.
Yeah.
It's the Italian job with the Mini Cooper.
Correct. It's not the Bourne Supremacy, it's the Italian
job. Phenomenal chase scene. Absolutely right, phenomenal.
And another one, didn't they really do all the driving in that? There was none of the fake stuff in that?
Right.
And they actually drove through the up and down the stairs in the house.
Right.
It's another movie that's made by a different producer out in, I believe, in the Valley out in California. And it's a knockoff on that. And they just put Ham in the middle of it. I think I can get away with that, can I?
Sure you can.
Thank you.
That's a good movie, too.
Hello, Otis.
Now, if they turn that into a ride at King's Dominion, then I'm going.
Yeah.
You know, you must be the, and it would be, you must be this big to ride this ride. Not this tall. This
right.
This
well,
big.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, we got a break.
Say hi to Gina. She's going to be your ride mistress.
There's one more call we got to take, and I'll tell you why in just a moment if Joe's sleuthing is in fact correct. Hello, Mark.
Hey,
Mark, hold on. Mark, area code 703-929, blah, 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 blah. I should tell you already, friends, he has been identified as the finger guy.
Shove that finger.
Oh, hey, way to go. Hey, nice job, Joe. Yeah.
Joe.
Nice job, Joe.
Hey, Joe. Joe.
Thursday. Way to go.
Yes.
Good sleuthing.
Good job.
I know.
Good sleuthing. Now are you gonna do that thing? You gonna block his call?
Well, since we know who he is, we might as well, huh?
Yeah. Didn't that look like a business number to you and not a home number?
It does. Obviously, it does because it has the 00.
Right.
Strangely, I'm gonna miss it.
Yeah, me too.
Well, not me. We can give you your home number.
That's a good idea.
Thank you, Joe.
Weekend fun.
Bye, Joe. Or just turn around and go back to playing Pong or whatever you're doing.
He says goodbye.
He says goodbye. We got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Arnold Q1.
After the photo mat was destroyed, the bear scampered back into the woods.
Apparently, he wasn't too happy with his color prints.
From the entire Channel 4 news team, I'm Veronica Corningstone.
And I'm Ron Burgundy. Go f*** yourself, San Diego.
The Don and Mike Show. Listen to them, and you will turn to butter. The Don and Mike Show.
Still good. Solid job, everybody. Good broadcast.
I swear to God, that's my favorite part of that movie.
Very tight.
I either like that or when he's walking away from Veronica Corningstone.
Nothing to see here.
Good part, too.
He's walking it off. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Then press pound.
What? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
That was something that said press pound.
Yes. Pound sand to that call.
Press pound?
Okay. All right. What happens?
Nothing. You get an immediate busy signal when you press pound.
The test works.
Okay. It works. We are go, Houston.
Thank ye. Listen, we've had a couple, at least, of women calling the show today, and I don't want to turn this into a chick fest by any stretch of the imagination, but I read something today, and it is something that I think men would appreciate but would not say. It's a break women are getting.
Hmm.
Now, the way I understand it is this. I know that women's clothing sizes are different than men's clothing sizes.
Right.
Okay? Mike, here's what made me think of all this. Today, I was writing some notes down. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you.
Okay.
I know you had some beer last night.
Yes.
But how you did on your diet?
Mm-hmm.
How'd you do?
Did great, actually.
Good.
Had a great day yesterday. I came back. You know that I had a little sandwich and then didn't eat any of the bad food that was back there.
Right.
And I got home last night and was hungry. And knew that I had maybe one or two points left, and I ate a pear. and that was my, that was that, I was done eating for the day.
Ate a pair of what?
I ate a pair of pies.
Pair of twins.
I ate a pair of pies. And I weighed myself this morning. And, I was lower than I thought I would be. In fact, I was very, very surprised. I thought that I had plunged back in well into the 270s, and that is not good. I was originally, when I started this whole thing, I have weighed, get this, 296 pounds.
Incredible!
And I was really fully expecting to say, you know, that 270 mark for me is right. Like when the, you start spiraling, and I'm under 270. I'm
good.
269.8888. No, I am 269.5. That's right. What I am.
Cool. Here's the thing. So, I was thinking about you.
Yeah.
And at the same time, one great thing that Frida got me going on was this whole thing about writing down what you eat and writing down when you exercise. So I do this, in some way
keeping track of it, right?
I do it online. And the way that I do it online is with this service where they do all the calculating for you and everything else.
Right.
And there's like this pop-up thing that says the story about women and sizes. And I'm thinking how, you know, men, as we've talked about on this show, you know, even fat guys don't like being fat guys.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, I mean,
nobody likes being fat.
You know, you don't like being the guy on TV when they're doing the story about obesity.
There might be somebody that likes being fat. I don't know.
You're the guy walking down the street, and they've taken the picture of you, but they won't show your head.
Right.
Because they want to show how obese America
is. And they always seem to be wearing shorts, and it's always in the summer.
So there are guys that worry about their weight and stress about their weight, blah, blah, blah. Now, chicks, listen to what they're doing for chicks. There were the fat chicks, or excuse me, the regular-sized chicks of America are very mad at the super, super slender chicks.
Like the models, the fashion models?
No, I'm talking about your everyday women who are just like the soccer moms or whatever that are just real thin.
And you see that in a lot of areas. You see that in a lot of places that are wealthy areas like Beverly Hills and that type area.
I read this about something they're starting called vanity sizes for women. Now, this is for women to lie to themselves.
No, that's crap.
Now, hold on. Hear me out on this.
Okay.
The way that this goes, and I spent a long time reading this today on the Internet, was that women are mad because there are certain chains of women's clothing stores that are now coming out with sizes that are sub-zero. And I don't mean cold like the refrigerator. I mean like minus one, minus two. Because you have some women who actually wear a size zero. Right?
Yeah, I mean, women who are petite to start with and are also emaciated.
So, now, I really did read this and do research. It said, the average woman in America wears a size 16. Now, that would not make her a pig. That would not make her a cow. That would make her an average American woman. But because these stores are making the sizes smaller and smaller for the chicks who really are, like, putting their fingers down their throats, what they're doing now is just rebranding everything. For instance,
so they're changing
what used to be
16.
No, what used to be a 16.
Yeah, what is it there?
Is now labeled at a 10.
right.
Now, this apparently is something that's going on throughout our culture.
Wow.
For a while,
yes.
Well, now, see, I'm new to this buzz.
Yeah. You mean as we, as a people, get bigger.
Right.
Women's sizes. But, and I think they're starting to do this with men's clothes as well.
I have not noticed this trend. I've not noticed this trend, but I thought, what a rip.
Yeah.
I mean, at least if you're talking about self-esteem, because guys feel the same way if you're trying to lose weight and you're trying to get those jeans.
Well, you and I are a good example. I know you even more so than me. You're one of your biggest motivators that I've always heard you talk about
getting
into certain sizes.
Right. Well,
I love it too. Wouldn't you agree, really, one of the number one things about losing weight for me would be fitting into different kinds of clothes.
Right. Yeah, I love
that.
Right. Yeah, for whatever reason, that sounds faggy. I'm still a big fat guy. I like the fact that I can wear size 36 jeans. I like wearing Levi's with the numbers on the back of them.
And the bottom line is, if you are larger, department stores don't necessarily cater to you.
Now,
you know, at a certain point, they even push you out to a specialty store.
Here's the thing.
Rob's waving.
So let's say you're a chick now.
Mail order.
You know, you feel better about yourself.
I think that's BS.
You feel better about yourself because now you're wearing a size 10.
Right.
Hey, but I got news for you, Cal. You're really in a 16, even though you're not really a cow.
Well, yeah, and we can. I can talk about this because I'm a fat guy. I mean, there are issues with health and everything else. By,
just what
by pretending that a dress size is actually smaller, you're not helping anybody.
I didn't know that this is going on.
They call them vanity sizes?
Yes, and this was started by the, they don't want to call them fat women. They want to call them the normal-sized women of America.
They used to say full-figured gals.
Plus sizes.
Because the more and more that women are getting down like the size 2 and size 0, there are women who now say, oh, my God, she's a 0 and I'm a 16.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what they do? They say, well, guess what? Cinderella, your ass is just as big, but now you're in a size 10.
Magic. That's going to screw it up. You know where I bet that doesn't happen? I bet that doesn't happen with, like, designers from overseas. I bet you don't get that from the European designers.
It's worldwide.
You think it's
the
worldwide?
The whole fashion industry. My wife was a 6, hasn't lost an ounce, and is now a 0. So Don's right. It's about 6 sizes down from where it was.
Really?
Yes.
Well, see, I mean, looking at Marsha, I would think she would be, like, a 1 or a 0.
No,
she's tiny.
I mean, 20 years ago, she was a size 6, and without changing her size, she now wears a 0.
See, I was absolutely unaware of this, and apparently it's something that's going on, and it's like women's dirty little secret that they don't tell anybody about it.
Don't you think men, if they tried to do the same thing, I'd be like, no, stop. Hey. I want to know when I get down in
size. Wouldn't you feel like you're lying to yourself?
I'd feel like I was completely lying.
If you talk to your friend and you said, hey, look at me. I'm in size 32 jeans.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, you're still a big fat load.
Exactly. Ours are in inches. Like size 32 jeans is for a 32-inch waist. Theirs is some nebulous number that doesn't mean anything. A 6. What the hell is a 6?
Our stuff is all tangible. I mean, the only way they could change it is like with the number of X's before the L. That they could screw with that.
They do.
Anyway.
But I mean, even with men's clothing, I mean, you get different, obviously different cuts that are, you know, and different makers of clothing where it's a different size.
I have to ask all the gals out there.
I won't buy a suit with a vowel on the end of it.
Hey, dude. Oh, I will.
Good for you.
I love the suits with vowels.
Well, because you are thinner than I am, and you can get into those suits.
And it's only because
I hope I
could never buy a suit that had an AEIOU at the end of it.
Right. I hope someday that I'm able to. I really do.
Most of my suits are not with a vowel, but and tall.
But the thing that's pushed women into getting retailers to do this is the women that are so small, they've now gone into the stores and said, and this was a very long, drawn-out thing, but had quotes from women saying, like, I worked my whole life to weigh 96 pounds and to wear a size 0. Well, guess what? Everybody now is a size 0.
Yeah.
So she's saying, I cannot lose any more weight. Mm-hmm. If I lose any more weight,
it'd be unhealthy.
I'm going to die.
Right.
What can you do to help me? You know what they said? Guess what? You are now a size minus 2.
Oh, God.
Jesus
Christ. Wow. It's insane.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, the other, just bring out a tape measure, for
God's
sake.
You feel good about yourself.
I mean, guys have, with suits and pants and all that, we pretty much held the line on that for a long time. It is what it is.
Right. Just deal with it. Come on. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Good for you.
Hello. Oh, that radio's up loud. Hello.
Oh, it's off. Hello.
Hi there.
Hey, I wanted to tell you, it's the high dollar stores.
The what?
High dollar stores.
The high dollar, you mean the expensive stores?
Yeah, the expensive clothing stores have the ones that they lower their numbers. It makes all the women feel like they're smaller.
You know, I guess that does make sense because, as Buzz said, it is a nebulous number. It is not a specific number, and so they do that to sell more clothes.
But I was reading that it's trickling all the way down to Walmart.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise
me.
I mean, if you get some fatty that goes and goes, I'm a 12 now.
This is great. I'm going to buy 3 of these dresses.
For instance, what size are you?
I'm a 10.
A 10.
I used to be a 16. I lost 50 pounds, so now I'm a 10.
That sounds like a very normal, very healthy size.
I think so.
So what size, are you really a 10, or are you really like a 12?
No, I'm not sure. I think I'm really a 10. But
what is the fluctuation? If you're a 10, what is the fluctuation you've seen, like when you go to different stores? I mean, what's the smallest you've ever seen that really fit you and the largest size that really fit you?
The smallest I can wear is a 6.
So, see, I mean, so that's an amazing. See,
that's a cheat.
That's an amazing.
That's a
difference.
If you can go from a 6 to a 10, forget. You know what? Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Why do you hang up? You know what? That's such a rip-off.
But now Jesus it makes Christ. Sense. It's not a rip-off for anything but the women themselves.
Yeah.
Because they feel good about themselves, and they're just making the stores richer.
And now that I'm thinking about it, I give all credit to whatever man it is that thought up this idea.
Damn right.
That's right.
Because marketing. All these, this,
no that's wonder, all it's about.
No wonder we don't know about it.
Right. Right.
It's their dirty little secret.
Yeah. I mean, and
just for them.
Sure. That's exactly what they do.
Oh,
excuse me.
You look great. Do I? What size are you got? I'm down to a 10. I'm in an 8. Although I can get down to a 4 if I... Can you imagine?
Meanwhile, she's wearing a pair of pumps that look like the size of canoes.
I'm a 10. Where's the cheese plate?
Can you imagine that? For instance, Buzz, your waist size is what, 32?
Yeah, about that. Yeah,
32.
Right.
All right, I'm about 36. Can you imagine? I'm not, like, no. Can you imagine?
40.
All right, let's say 40.
40.
Wait, how about this?
Rob, would you help me here?
Yeah, no, I'm 40 plus.
40 plus, okay. Let's imagine one day that Thank Buzz
you.
Says...
Thank you, my friend.
Buzz says, which pair of slacks am I going to wear? My size 42s,
right.
My size 36s, my size 40s, or my 32s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for a guy, here's the deal. Whatever your big man ass fits into,
right.
That's the size.
Right.
And at least we can deal with
real
this
numbers.
Is true. This is true.
Real numbers.
So, and don't be driving a Prius if you're a size 0.
And don't be driving aggressively if you're that size 0 in a Prius.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what can we do for you?
You're on the air.
Okay.
Moron.
I was going to say, if you can reduce the dress sizes by 6 sizes, can you increase the bra sizes by 6?
That was worth the wait.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, I think the perfect solution is a one-size-fits-all burqa.
You know, there's something to be said for that, my friend.
Well, I mean, I think that when you see women in that type of outfit...
Oh, the mystery.
And I'm not talking about the Middle Eastern outfit, but when you see the... You know, it's always been referred to as the muumuu, hasn't
then,
it?
Then the next step would be you take away the right to drive.
You know what? I'm wrong. The muumuu has been replaced in America. The muumuu has been replaced by the stretch pant. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You don't see women in muumuus anymore. You see women in oversized T-shirts and those little stretchy pants that they wear that any woman can wear.
Or we could put them in the really, really big flowing garment, the Delta burqa.
Hello. Not in my show.
Hi, this is Katie, and I just wanted to say that it's not just like the women are saying we want to be smaller.
Yes, it is.
But it's also like the fashion industry, they don't have, like you guys have a set. My waist is 36 inches, so I'm in a 36. The fashion industry.
Hold on a second. Can you hold on a second? Because we need to have Rob.
Just go right ahead.
Yeah, we had some interference. Go ahead, man.
So would you start over again, please? What's your name?
Katie.
Hi, Katie. Katie. Yeah, what were you saying, Katie?
I was just saying that the fashion industry doesn't have like a set model that's a size 8 that everybody uses.
Can you please turn your radio down, Katie? Really, we're having a
problem. It's off. It's off. I swear, it's off.
All right. Start over again, please. Please, Katie, one more time.
Go ahead.
I was just saying that the fashion industry doesn't have a set size 8 that everybody in the fashion industry uses. They make up their own sizes so they can see whatever they want them to be. Which is like what that means. At the higher industry, they'll make a size minor size so women are going to buy it.
I think we totally understand.
Thank you. Thank you for the call.
Got it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Katie.
And the bitch don't even say goodbye.
That was fun.
Something Hello. Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Let me guess. You're 12.
I'm 12? I love you. No, I'm 39.
No.
Your size.
That's big.
Your size.
Don, guess your size as a size 12. I will say you are a size 6.
You know what? I love you. I'm an 8. But I'm in California, so we live by different rules.
What do you mean?
I bet you do, don't you? It's a, the sizes are actually more accurate out there, aren't they?
No, we have boutique stores. And so if you live in a college town, we actually have to go by what they wear.
So what does that mean? Does that mean your sizes run smaller or larger?
Yeah, they run smaller. But we, as a soccer mom, I will go in there quietly and hide in a dressing room. And it's just
hold on. So you said you're an 8, but
see,
really...
See, an 8 I don't think of as a big size.
If you lived on the East Coast, what would you be, a 12, 14?
No, okay. She'd be the opposite. She'd probably be a... Like a 5 or a 4.
No, isn't she saying that she has to buy smaller clothes because of where she
lives? In California, but if she lived
here. If she lived here, she'd buy bigger clothes, meaning that she would be like a 14 or a 16.
No. I'd probably be, honestly, between an 8 and a 10, and I'd be comfortable.
Because
in the smaller clothes and the jeans, if I pay $100 for jeans, somebody better be lying to me and tell me I look better and in a better size.
Is it harder to find larger sizes or smaller sizes?
If you're average out here, honestly, it's hard to find average sizes. Big stuff is gone, and all the small stuff is gone.
I know as a fat guy, when I go in, if I get into a store after, you know, the initial wave of clothing has come out, my sizes are just completely picked over by heifermen. Heifermen come in and just completely, and I call them heifermen even though I'm a heifermen, but I'll just be like, I have said in the middle of men's clothing stores at the top of my lungs, I said, when did all the fat guys get here? Jesus, what the hell? You know, and it's like medium.
So you're an 8, you'd be a 10, you think, maybe here.
Yeah, I think so, because I'm a medium.
Well. You know, since we're having this discussion, may I ask, how about your bust size?
My bust, you know,
yeah.
I'm a between a B or a C. Isn't that sad?
No.
Now, what's the number that goes with?
The number, 34, 36.
Now, 34, 36. You're getting a round of applause.
Now, which is it, though? Which is it 34? Is it 36? Is it B? Is it C?
Because, you know what? Okay, if you go, it's the bra. Again, you've got to go by the fit of the bra.
Yeah, the majority of the brassieres you have in your closet, in your dresser.
Just by your...
34B.
34B. That's fine. That's solid.
You might want to have them fixed.
No.
You know,
I mean, she does live in California.
Pony up the dough.
What?
I'm looking for volunteers. I'll take donations. I will get them fixed.
So you would have the augmentation surgery if you
could. How big would you go? Would you go 36D?
You know what? I would. I would.
You want big, giant ones.
I live in a college town. I have to compete with these little things who have them up to their chin.
Now, hold on.
I am finding this woman very sexy.
I've got to ask this woman as well.
Uh-huh.
When did he leave you?
My daughter was 4 months old. He's a piece of crap.
Oh, Preston, two in a row.
Who knows women?
Look at you.
Two
in a row.
I am like that Jew-hater movie. I am like that Jew-hater movie where the Jew-hater can hear everything that is in Helen Hunt's mind.
What women want.
Yes, starring Mel Jew-hater Gibson.
That's true. It's an amazing job you're doing today.
Well, thank you.
I was talking to Dom, but that's okay.
I was talking to me by identifying the women who have been dumped by men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he actually lives in Massachusetts, so I hope he listens to your show because he owes me $12,000.
Oh!
And I want my money.
Oh, don't be too hard on him.
Honey, listen, really, you don't get those fake balloons in your chest to compete.
I'm not.
I mean, unless you really think it will help you out. And then I think we'd be all for it.
Yes, we're all we intend to relax the standards a little bit.
Yeah. No. I have a 12-year-old daughter. If I got them, it wouldn't be sending the right message.
Oh, well, I guess you would have to. At 12, she knows everything, so you'd have to tell her.
I know. But, you know, in California, I love you out here. I was disappointed to hear you're not coming out the November 31st. Because I was like, San Luis Obispo's not that far.
Mm, so yeah.
You know, girls are different than boys and men.
What?
Women walk around, yes, Buzz, women walk around naked around each other all the time, no big deal.
Yeah, isn't that great?
I'm sure one day you could just like to get dressed for work and your daughter's there and you just, you know, walk it up without a bra and you go,
oh, these little things, it's not a big deal.
Honey, look, this is what mommy's got.
Uh-huh.
I need more. Mommy needs more.
Yeah, it probably wouldn't be that big a trauma. If she was in an age where she understood that type of thing.
You know, and what the hell, you're in California.
But you're right, you know what? But see, she doesn't want her daughter going out and doing the same thing. I can
understand. She's in California, her daughter's going to do it anyway.
Is it Northern California? San Luis Obispo.
Oh, that's more like Southern California.
That's kind of Southern. Well, in that case, she's probably already picked out the doctor.
She's probably already hooking.
Mm-hmm.
She's probably outscoring H.
Booking.
What scares me is you've been right so far today.
God, that's terrifying, isn't it?
Goodbye now.
Thank you.
Thanks for going.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. See you.
This is my daughter, Crystal. Crystal Meth.
Don and Mike. Hello.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike. Hi, Buzz.
Oh, God. This is like going to a PTA thing.
Don't you want to say hi to Rob?
Hi, Rob.
Oh, there you go. What's up, buddy?
That's funny.
Well, I was calling to talk about the jeans, but since we got on to...
You mean the jeans like if you have high cheekbones or jeans like denim?
Denim.
Your okay. Dungarees. Mm-hmm. What about them?
No, all I was going to say was going to give my two cents about when I was in high school, I was a size 8. And, of course, back then the jeans weren't as tight or as low-fitting as they make them now. And I'm the same size, the same weight. And now I'm about 4 sizes smaller. So, and it's at every store that I go to. So it is.
So you're a size 4 now.
Actually, well, between a size 2 and a 4, yes.
Oh, well, that's hotty 2 and a 4, yeah.
Just talking about that, though.
And I also want to get my boobs done, so, since we were on that subject.
There's just something about hearing that. It makes you sound so tiny. I'm a size 2.
No, that's two's not tiny.
Like a baby size.
It's not. It's not. No. Two's not tiny.
No, it's... I'm 120.
What was that, Buzz?
Hold on.
Just a second, Amanda.
A little slice of heaven. That's pretty close to perfect.
That's what I thought I heard to say.
Four? Yeah.
So you want a boob job?
Definitely.
Oh, really? What's the size now? This is... I love this segment. What is your size now?
I'm a...
Wow. Hello? Where'd she go?
We got to change carriers right now.
Oh, no.
I'm serious. Talk about that goddamn commercial where it says dropped call at the wrong moment.
God, they dropped the call. We need a break.
What?
We need a break.
Okay. He's not enjoying this segment.
The emails are still getting through, okay. Though. Here's one from Mike. It says, you can run, but your finger and I will become one.
Is that the guy, the finger guy?
I think so, yeah.
The finger guy's emailing us, too, just to get through.
Rob says we should break.
We should break!
Man.
Let me just take one more call. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
You gods, fearless and peerless, how are you?
Hola.
Hey, you know, like a woman, unfortunately, I fluctuate 32, 34, so when 33s came out past for men, that was perfect.
I think this is a gay call.
All right, thank you, faggot.
And I'm a 42-0.
Okay, bye-bye.
A 42-0. He gave us his bra size.
That's a 420. He gave us his bra size.
Keep eating A.
God, and that call wasn't dropped, unfortunately. We lost the petite lady. She was just about to give us the bra size, and we give this guy.
I'm a 42-0.
I'm a 33.
33 was just a breath of fresh air when that came out.
Do you remember the Jerry Seinfeld episode where he buys Levi's and actually... What did he spend all day erasing numbers? Is that what he did?
I believe he changed a 34 to a 32 because he wanted to have the same size jeans as he'd had in high school. And he'd like scratch it out and replace it.
And that's not that dumb.
Hold on a second.
I changed the 38 to a 36.
You won.
Forged pants.
When did you do that?
Back in college. When I started my first foray into getting 4K.
Pants
when I started getting 4K, I changed the 38 to a 36. None of my pals were 38, and I didn't want to be the 4K one. You can only keep that corduroy sport coat on for so long.
How do you change the number on the back of a Levi's?
I will demonstrate the next time I have jeans. I will demonstrate. However, you can't do it with a lot of numbers, but right. Changing an 8 to a 6, extremely easy.
Changing a grade card.
It took me less than 30 seconds to do it.
Uh-huh.
You know, all you need is just like a little letter opener. Mm-hmm. Works great. It works great.
A letter opener.
Yeah, you just because you get with the Levi, and we're only talking about the Levi. Right. I mean, Levi is the great jeans that really tell you what your waist size is.
You scrape
off the little imprint, and you take out that top half of the 8, and it turns it into a 6.
Did that help you get laid?
No. Didn't help at all.
No.
Except one time, one girl was going, did you change that number? She stormed out.
Oh. Mike's not alone. I changed a 56 to a 36.
They knew you were lying.
On my overalls.
Big Junior samples overall.
Hold on a second. That reminds me of something.
We really need a break.
I know we do. But I just had my girlfriend just tell you one thing. When we were at the Redskins game this weekend.
Right.
You mentioned overalls.
Mm-hmm. Always.
This should be another rule now. Like, no one in a Prius should be able to drive aggressively.
Right.
Right.
And women who are size zeros should not be able to... Hey, hi there, sweetie.
Hi.
Hey, listen, just real fast, we're on the air. Have you seen anything worse than... Do you remember the guy at the Redskins game on Sunday who was wearing overalls sitting two rows in front of us?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean... There is nothing that screams, I'm a dullard, more than wearing overalls. And the guy, I mean, he could have been, he could have been Albert Einstein.
Right.
He could
have. Was he a skinny guy or a fat guy?
He was a fat guy.
A fat guy.
He was a, so.
Overalls on the fat man.
So we're tooling on him, right?
Right.
We're sitting there in our seats. We're tooling on him. And I said to Janet, I said, why would anybody, I mean, I understand girls wearing overalls.
Or farmers.
Or little kids.
Yeah, but why do girls wear them? And she said, well, because of their, you know, on a girl, they look different. And blah,
yeah, they
blah,
look
blah,
hot
blah.
On a girl.
And then she noticed the guy that was wearing these overalls, like three rows in front of us. He had, really? Didn't he have cami on underneath?
He had on hunting, It was something that, like, the camouflage that hunters wear, but it was, like, long underwear.
Yeah, I mean...
Like, oh, nice.
It was so funny. And then his face was all marked up, and I sat there, and I thought, he's the before, and then the old man who had the long gray ponytail... Yeah. All drawn. I just thought you could tell they were family members, and it looked like they were from West Virginia.
Yeah, well, they were Tennessee Titans fans.
And he was like the actor effect, and this is the guy that was before.
This guy really was like, not only was he just a bad representative of Nashville,
right,
where that team is from, because he was a Titans fan, but overalls. And I said, really? I said to Janet, you never see a man wearing overalls. Now, it's like you said, like it's a farmer
and
or something
if you
like
do,
that.
And if you do, I always smell ass.
Yeah. I mean, I know farmers, they don't even wear overalls. They wear something called coveralls, where they wear, like, normal clothes, and then it's, like, a full, like, it's got long sleeves, and it's this up.
Gotcha.
Yeah, Carhartt.
They don't wear overalls anymore.
Gotcha. Well, never get me overalls. And, you know what? As long as you were on the phone to start your new job on Monday, would you describe for everybody, you know, I know a lot of times people think that I talk about stuff on the air and it's either made up or taken to an extreme that's not true. I know when I mentioned to Janet about how I had to break into the garage the other day, she said to me, oh, I thought you were just like tweaking that up for the air. Mm-hmm. So I said, no, absolutely to the contrary.
So she's a witness to the damage you showed
so,
her.
So, yeah, so you've seen, right, Anne?
Yes.
Anne?
Yes, I would not. I'm glad that you will always stand behind me and back me up, and I would not mess with you.
No,
ever.
Listen, did I take that?
Ever, ever. Yeah. You broke out. I mean, it's really, to repair it, you're going to have to get a carpenter. And it's just like the inside portion of the wall.
So you're here, Janet. You're here to testify that Don does indeed have the strength of 10 men.
Broke down a door, Mike, because I'm stupid.
20 men, she says.
20 men.
Broke. I would say 20 large-sized football players.
Very good.
Yeah, that's right.
Because I'm stupid.
No, you're not.
Because I lock myself out.
You're strong.
No, what I say is you're a man that knows how to get things done.
No. Yeah. All I know is that she pointed out to me, she said, not only did you rip the frame off, but
right.
She said, probably this whole wall,
this
whole corner of the wall is going to have to be replaced.
Well, the prying open probably did the first part, and then when you crushed through the door, when you burst through the door with your shoulder, that probably did the rest.
You got the job done, but you did it in a way that it's going to be a simple repair. You're not going to have the door replaced, and I don't think you're going to have the locksmith out there.
Thank God, though, that he was wearing overalls when he did that.
Yes, yes, and nothing else.
Oh.
Wouldn't that be a good look?
Yeah, baby.
Wouldn't that be a hammer?
Something I was thinking about.
Easy access.
All right, well, you keep thinking about that.
Okay.
All right, I'll see you later.
I can only hope.
Wow.
That's right, a girl can dream. All right, I'll see you later.
Give me something else, too.
forward to.
All right. Bye. Goodbye, friend.
Bye, friend.
Bye, friend.
Okay, goodbye.
Goodbye.
I'm suddenly transported to that movie, Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Right. That's a big overall
that's
movie.
That's a huge
right?
overall right. movie.
But this guy that was in front of the football game, and it was the thing that as the game went on, and you know how it goes when you're at a sporting event, and it starts, you know, you're with the with all the regular people that are in your section, and you have a couple of pops, and before you know it, you're talking, and then things get loose, and you end up saying to the guy in front of you where you normally would say, like, you know, hey, you want to laugh? Hey, look at the dick down there in the overalls. And slowly you see it just starting to spread throughout the section.
Hey, Cletus, welcome to Washington. You hump, camouflage overall hump.
Okay, well, we got to... We do a Rob.
Not a prank.
Yeah, where were you 10 minutes ago? Huh?
Right here.
I know you were. Not to just continue this stupid thing about clothes, because now I understand the double standard of women.
Right. I could actually take calls about bra sizes all day long.
I'd also be curious if there are men who actually wear overalls, like every day, but not for their job. Just men who are big, fat, sloppy pigs.
Yeah.
Comfort clothes.
For ease.
Has anyone ever worn overalls? I have. I have worn overalls before.
I'm sure I did when I was a little boy, but not as an adult.
I've worn them, and I've worn what we called painter's pants when I was younger. Which
see, now, painter's pants don't count because you probably were painting at the time, right?
No. No, I was just going to dinner with one of my male friends.
He was being painted.
Actually, well, he's an older guy. He was our local congressman. But he picked me up. I was wearing the painter's pants, and I changed into something while I was in his car before we picked up the priest. Sunnier days, Don.
Sunnier days. Good times. Rob, we should have hit a break 10 minutes ago, boy. Okay, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
It is very nice to see you on the plaza. We have got groups from North Carolina, more groups from England, people gathering from all over the world. And, of course, we have everyone who listens to Don and Mike on the radio. Spoke to my good buddies there yesterday. Howdy, guys. Let's see what's happening as we take a check of the weather all over the United States at this hour.
Good for you. Dave Price.
Good fulfilling for you. Nature's order. The Don and Mike Show.
Right, right.
Fancy digs you got here.
Thank you.
That bad you want me to get, Jack. If I get any worse, the Johnson office won't pass it.
You right can on. Suck this.
Whatever
you I know. Suck on that, losers.
Okay, well. Before we talk about Paul McCartney turning into Rob, I don't think we would be doing our duty as petty, insecure broadcasters if we didn't at least check into Rupert's mailbag for a moment.
Yeah, you know, I haven't looked at it, and I'm curious.
It's so anti-us. Today.
Yes. Well, he always has.
It's incredible.
Hmm. But just really, and, you know, no matter what, he can tell you that it's other posters, but he edits it. He makes sure what gets on the site gets on the site, and right. He's always had a problem.
Now, without getting into a whole big thing like we did yesterday, the ratings came out, and our show is absolutely, without question, number one among every male demographic, including the one the advertisers care about. 25-54, and as far as adults go, 25-54, mm-hmm. We're number three ranked out of 38 stations.
Men 25-54, a very long time ago, I'm going to say 15 years ago, is what this radio station hired us to bring, and we have done it ever since.
Only bring this up to point out, we don't have bad ratings. We have great ratings that DC 101, WBIG, WARW, WMAL, dare I say it, some of the urban stations, mm-hmm. would kill for in the afternoon.
Right.
This is a super rated show. I'm not BSing about that, but because we had the tick in the ratings,
yep.
and because we talked about it, now it's open season on Rupert's mailbag.
We discussed this yesterday. We give the good and the bad. We lay it all out there, and we know that we're going to be scrutinized. And, you know, this is not unexpected that this guy's done this.
Here's the thing. This is not scrutiny. This is one guy with a hard-on for us.
He's had
with a website.
It's a weird little obsession that he's got.
So now
Now all of the guys, all the high school boys, they're like sitting around and, you know, working it and writing in because they know that now that their buddy Rupert Pupkin is going to put their messages in the mailbag,
right?
He doesn't like us again.
Mm-hmm.
Here's some of what we have now.
Okay,
just from today. I'll give you two of them. Can somebody out there let me know if Don and Mike have turned down that stupid reverb gimmick? I promised myself I wouldn't listen to the show till they fixed it. So give a friend a heads up, would you? The next question is whether they're still worth listening to at all. They were getting pretty tired already when they started that lame, annoying reverb. Is Don still as boring as and egocentric? Is Mike still fake laughing like a guy who's clinically depressed but trying to pretend he's happy? Dang, those two used to be funny.
Wow.
Dot, dot, dot. Used to be.
I'm so depressed.
Hold on. Here's another one, Mike.
Yeah, the sad clown.
Oh, sad clown.
Here's another one. I'm going to get blunt! Exclamation point.
Uh-huh.
Don and Mike have totally worn out their welcome here in the D.C. marketplace.
There we go.
Wow. Their act is tired. Their bits are outdated. Their humor is non-existent. The chemistry is not there. I personally feel that Mike is the real talent. He was an energetic, powerful personality up until he had several failed marriages.
Yes, that's when it all went out the window.
A booze problem.
Yes, a drinking problem.
And enhanced securities.
Yes.
Mike has been spiraling downward for the last several years.
Thank you.
He's kind of a sad cartoon of his former self.
Oh, sad clown, sad cartoon.
Yeah, give me your bra size.
On the other hand, Don has dipped into a massive negative due to his losses. The only thing that keeps him going is his anger. Notice how he never even mentions his son anymore. The sad story of a once successful and creative duo.
Yeah, I hate the fact that you didn't mention your son in the last break when you were talking about his car.
Or when he was on the show last week. But right. or your many massive... Oh, hold on. I have massive negative stuff due to my losses.
What's my negative?
You have...
My marriages.
Enhanced securities and failed marriage.
Enhanced securities? Or would that be...
Enhanced insecurities.
Let's get it right,
now,
people.
Look back at the other great DC duos who never lost their luster or the public's respect.
Oh, wow.
Hardin and Weaver and the Joy Boys.
Mm-hmm.
Both went out on top. Listen, douchebag.
Whoa.
If Mike and I quit today.
We love your cruelty.
We'd go out on top.
Mm-hmm.
We'd go out on top if we quit today.
Number one.
You know what? You're right.
Bye.
Good night, everybody.
All right.
Thank you.
That is simply today. That only took 3 minutes out of broadcast time.
Right.
So now we get right back to it. Rupert.
You are so obsessed.
What are you going to do, Rupert? When we come back strong in the next book.
I know exactly what he's going to do. He's going to do what he's done before. He will low-key it.
And he'll also change his tact and say, Don and Mike have a really great show. They've had a great show for 20 years.
Right.
I'm a big, huge fan.
Yeah, it won't be Dick and Mike again. It'll be something where he will... But he will try to predict it, and then he will completely low-key it, and then he will edit out... The positive. He edits out the positives that we get now.
My only question.
He'll throw one in once in a while.
My only question for all you guys who obviously still listen to our show every day is, can you not come up with anything more creative when you're going to write the stuff to the guy with the website about how we suck then? I don't listen anymore. Can you please keep me updated?
Yeah.
And if you're going to write something like, I'm negative because of my loss, well, that's your perception, but if you're going to write that I don't talk about my son, what would you like me to say about my son? He's almost 22 years old.
Hold on a second. Let me make this point.
Yeah.
The point is this. When you hear that last email where he's talking about your losses, and he's talking about my marriages, and he's talking about your son, every single thing he brings up, he would be completely unaware of if it wasn't for this show listening to this show. And I don't want to sound sanctimonious, and I don't want to sound like we're bigger than the room, but let me tell you this, you son of a bitch. Every single thing you write about is something Don or I gave you that we consciously decided to let go and reveal on the radio. Otherwise, pal, you got nothing. And if you want to go listen to some cookie cutter crap where they don't give any piece of themselves at all.
Go ahead.
Well, we've been doing it, you jackass. We have been doing it for 20 long years. So yeah. So just deal with
so,
that.
Listen,
you know, really. I mean, that's why he attacks us with stuff that we have given him.
Right.
Now let me give him a fake laugh. Hey. Jesus. Was that good? Was that sad?
Sad a clown.
A little sad.
Okay, that's it. That's enough time for Rupert today.
Yeah, very good.
Just want to let him know we're still out there. We read the site during the commercials.
Of course we do, Rupert. But, you know, really, I do go back to the fact that, you know, when we have problems is when nobody's saying anything bad.
Agreed.
Whatever.
Right. Agreed. However, you know, just from my
standpoint. He's just a hump, though. He's just a little gnat. He's a little zit.
If you're some dick
out, to be popped.
If you're some dick out there and you want to write something on a website, you know, you're entitled to your opinion. But get your facts straight. I mean, my kid is the single most important thing in my life. I mention him constantly. He was on the show last week, to be honest. As I said, he's almost 22 now. He's not like when he was 4, 5, 6. I would parade him out in front of you.
As a life. I don't know what it is with that website, but it seems to me that the entire, like, tempo, the entire, like, point of view of that website has gotten more down and dark since Dave has gone through his loss.
Well, Mike, I just want to say this, that having gone through a loss, I know that when you lose someone, that, you turn to get, you tend to turn that corner.
Yeah.
And I've worked real hard to turn back the other way.
Right.
Which is why I'm saying to Dave Hughes, I don't know why you're so pissed at us, but if you keep it up, you douchebag, we're going to stomp on you like nobody's ever stomped on you before. You understand what I'm saying, Dave? You're an annoying little twit. And it would make nothing more pleasurable for Mike and myself than to tool on you to the point where your little shop has to get closed down.
Let's do a little fantasy, Dave Hughes, if you happen to be listening, Rupert. Imagine Don and Mike doing an entire segment around Jimmy Dean's lovely little song, I.O.U., with little vignettes interspersed in the meantime. I would say it would take 15 to 20 minutes to really comedically do that justice.
I'll tell you when you are really going to have a problem. And that is in 2008 when Mike and I do Pack It In.
Yep.
Because what are you going to do then, Rupert?
Yeah, and incidentally, you're the last guy in the world that we want to give us any phony, kind words, okay?
Yeah, why don't you just...
Not welcome.
Why don't you just be straight? We don't like you. You don't like us.
And you know what?
I love that. Why don't you just stop flip-flopping on this issue?
I'd love it if he didn't do it like a print guy does it.
On your
where he just doesn't come out and say it.
On your Radio Insider website.
I mean, it's so transparent. You feign objectivity when we know exactly, those of us that are in this business, we know exactly what you're doing.
And you know what? If I plugged your site and I said I thought you were a smart guy and you had good insight, you would be so inside my prostate, you would be able to make love to my tonsils. That's the absolute truth.
And we know there are other people in the business, in this town, that do exactly that.
So just keep it coming, Dave.
Glad we can give you material.
And I know that there's some of you out there who are listening to this and you're giving him just what he wants.
Yeah, we are.
It's just what Mike discussed, though.
Mm-hmm.
Who else on your radio dial, first off, talks about their own warts, their own flaws? That's one reason I get pissed when people call up and say, you can't take it.
Mm-hmm.
But please, it's not that we can't take it. We're harder on ourselves than any of you morons out there calling in to bust balls could be.
You know, seriously, I stack this show up against so many others as far as really revealing the details of our lives. Good, bad, ugly. I mean, the real stuff, the real deal.
And it's just important to know, for the people that are listening now that give us the ratings, it has simply come down to this. It's a matter of pride. This guy is a little insecure, insignificant, just nothing. I know that. He's nothing more than a dead bug on my windshield. But goddamn, really want this show to come back and be number one just to shove it up that guy's ass.
Whatever it takes and whatever motivation it takes. And I love that motivation, too. That is really, you know, I mean, there's really, at this stage of the game, not a hell of a lot to play for. But that's something that we latch on to. That's something we hold on to. And it makes it more fun. It makes it a lot more fun.
If you get your rocks off by posting hate mail on your website, which is supposed to be... See, this is where the guy gets off on this. The thing is like, hey, I'm a news source
for gossip, except for the mailbag, which is unregulated and anybody can say anything. Well, not if somebody wants to write that Dave Hughes has become a negative son of a bitch since his mother died.
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't be able to make it on the mailbag.
I would venture to say you would never hear a discussion of the fact that Don and Mike were being very, very cruel today discussing the passing of Dave's mother. You wouldn't see that because he wouldn't allow that to be on his website.
Right.
Yeah. He's very sensitive about that.
But it's okay. It's okay because, as Mike said, the things that our detractors write about are things that we brought to their attention, just like we're bringing this to your attention today.
And just like Dave has brought that to our attention, we wouldn't know to talk about Mom unless we'd seen the same thing. Information on there.
You know, here's all I know.
I just want everyone to know I just stopped. I stopped short of a little line.
Look,
okay, I really do.
In Washington, D.C., there are 4.5 million people and 35 radio stations. For two old, we sure do get a lot of attention.
And we get a lot of listeners.
Why is that?
Yeah.
Why would that be? Dave, why would that be?
You know, at some point, I'm sure you would just sit there and look at us and go, well. And we'd hear the same thing we hear all the time. There's really nothing else on.
Really?
Well, you know what? For 20 years, there hasn't been anything else on. We've heard that, too. That's not our fault.
Anyway, the reason I bring this up, and I know I've said this before, that I am not going to discuss this or this on the air, that's really stupid because I'm going to discuss it. But one thing I have decided to do is a blog.
Oh.
And what I'm going to do on the blog, and the first one will be up tomorrow,
oh,
will be a little diatribe about Dave and DCR TV and everything else there. Put in terms maybe that I can't put on the radio.
Yeah.
Because I think the internet is a pretty safe place to get all of this out of my system.
Good.
Our system.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, we're not fighting it out on the airwaves. Mm-hmm. We're fighting it out in the alley that Dave likes. The land of the anonymous.
Good.
The land of the internet. Where whenever you go on our homepage,
Are you going to beg for donations?
Starting tomorrow, mm-hmm, you'll be able to click and see my blog.
Is it going to be free?
Oh, of course, Mike. Unlike his, it'll be free.
Very good.
Totally free. And I think the topic of my first blog tomorrow will be why Dave Hughes is obsessed with us.
I look forward to reading it.
Yeah. Okay?
I truly do.
So for those of you who like following this type of stuff,
mm-hmm,
go to our website.
It'll will be there
tomorrow.
Will there be anything about following us around in a late model Chevrolet with a trunk full of duct tape and some twine?
Mike, I can't say.
Yeah.
I cannot say.
Okay.
I'll just tell you that I thought about this a lot, and you know, I told you guys, I don't know, 6 or 7 months ago, I said, I think I really should do a blog. And we had a discussion, and the discussion was, well, why have a blog? Why not just say it on the radio?
Right.
Well,
in the trunk of the car was some duct tape, some box cutters, and a stained box of Dungeons and Dragons.
You know, the thing about the internet, and the reason that it pisses me off, is that unlike doing something spontaneous like we're doing right now, talking off the cuff, on the internet, you can actually sit and look at something and look at how it's constructed and think about what you're going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell you how many times I leave the show. I can't speak for the rest of you guys. But at the end of a show, and it's not got nothing to do with this douchebag and this website.
Right, any day.
You know, you drive home and you go, oh, God, you know, I should have said this, or I should have done, it would have been better if I would have done this, or if I would have done this. Well, this is going to be the perfect way for me to get this out of my system.
Good.
And to get it out there in a way that hits as hard as it hits when someone writes something. That's the difference between the spoken word,
mm-hmm,
and the written word. That's always the thing,
right,
in my opinion, that journalists have had over radio, is that you can say something on the radio.
You can craft it.
You can really craft what you say. You can say something, but the point is it goes in here and it comes out here.
Uh-huh.
And if it stays in between, you know, you're playing not with house money.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, if you actually look at something in writing, even if it's somebody writing, the sky is red, 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 after a while, it seems to have some sort of validity to it,
mm-hmm,
because you're reading it and because it's printed in a forum that appears to have some
sort of authenticity to it.
That's why when I send an email to anybody, it always has credibility, even though I send the exact same email to every website that I log on to.
Yeah.
All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. About 50 times.
So, you know what? I know, Rob, I'm sorry. We're going to take 3 minutes there to just start that and announce. Because I did want to announce right at 5 o'clock, right at the prime time.
Oh, good. You're going to do a blog.
Yeah, that I'm going to have the blog. Yeah. And the blog is going to be open to everybody on the show, as a matter of fact. Yes, hold on. Yanni.
Just want to let you know, most times Rupert has got his pants around his ankles when you're doing these discussions and nothing gets posted on the mailbag. But LBD just put up something nice about us.
Well, that's good. What did he say? Do we have it? Is it there? Can you see it where you are?
Yeah. It says all the Don and Mike haters, say what you want, complain all you want, but at the end of the day, Don and Mike are number one, 18 to 34 demo. Let's do the math, boys and girls. Number one, ranked number one in the demo, number one revenue. And that's what matters, not the reverb or all the haters complaining about their so-called tired show.
Dang.
The listeners keep writing down in the Arbitron diary that they listen to Don and Mike, so please just give it up. Albie D. Thanks, Albie.
Hey, that's Albie. Nice, Albie.
Thank you, Albie.
Thanks for the props.
Well,
that's a nice thing to do.
See, there's the written word. Mm-hmm. So anyway, look for that on our website starting tomorrow. That was really the big announcement. There will be a blog, and also I think it'll be a good way. I was thinking, you know, our website, which incidentally and by design looks like it came out around the time that Pong and the ColecoVision
very Russian
around the time that ColecoVision was popular. We like a very simple, easy to navigate website. Also, I think, Mike, eventually when you're feeling comfortable enough with your diet, that's the motivation you need.
Okay.
Rather than having you come in here and take off your shoes and everything, get on
the scale. Thank you. I agree. That's fantastic.
It's much easier if you just had a blog once a week and you wrote whatever, you know, what you ate, what your weight is,
right.
How you're feeling about things.
Very good. Okay.
And
I love it. You know what? That's a much better way to do it. And weekly is the way to do that.
We'll give Buzz the chance to blog, to talk about how he, you know, he likes to spray his genitals in a Hooters parking lot at 5:30, 8:30, whatever time
it was. This is exciting for me because I am a phenomenal writer. Just phenomenal. And to write about weight. Oh, my God. Good, bad, ugly. Here it comes, people.
So anyway, that's the big announcement that the blog will be on our website tomorrow.
Go get them.
Okay? And the first subject, hey, it's going to be Dave Hughes, everybody.
I'll look forward to reading it.
It's going
to
be Dave Hughes. And it's going
to
be...
And we're tidying up the website a little bit, making it a little easier to navigate.
Yeah. It'll be no punches pulled. Dave Hughes. Me, a personal message from me, Mike Source, real guy to Dave Hughes, made up, phony, internet pussy, thinks he's a real journalist.
Now, come on. Don't leave it all in the air studio.
No, I won't, Mike.
Save it for the blog.
That's nothing.
Why do they call it a blog?
Web log.
Oh.
Because it's a web log.
Mm-hmm. Well, I still don't think it makes sense.
Well, it's kind of like a Weeblo.
A log's something you put on a fire.
Or a weevil.
Think outside the box.
Weevils wobble, but they don't fall down.
A log is something I saw today. Man, did I. A copious log.
We need to break.
Sorry, Rob.
And don't forget Ren and Stimpy.
Oh, all kids love
log.
Log.
Everybody loves log. we do have to break.
Yeah.
When we come back, we've got a variety of topics for you here.
Very good.
We can either discuss in great length, and we'll get to it at some point today, I promise, Paul McCartney allegedly beating up Heather Mills.
Oh!
It's pretty good stuff, man.
Wow.
Pretty good stuff. Like, have you heard the stuff like about the breast milk?
No.
It's pretty good.
This is Paul McCartney's breast milk?
Good. And what, you've got a weed thing, right?
Oh, we have a Buzz and Joe interview to do next.
Oh, that's... Oh, look at this. Now, we've got this. Like, we have... All we have is a coffee table book.
Oh, that's nice. I know who's taking that home. Well, you're going to have to fight Joe.
We may have to fight for it. This book is called The Cannibal 3.
Cannibible.
Cannibible. Excuse me. It was a cannibal. And what it is as you can see, it's a coffee table book just full of buds.
Those are pretty.
It's just showing all...
Pages look a little sticky.
All these different kinds
of
weed.
That's a good thing, Mike.
You've got early queen. You've got heavy-duty fruity.
Wow.
You've got bubblegum. You've got high-end.
That's amazing.
You've got mother's finest. You've got old-time moonshine. Purple skunk.
Is there any section on food?
Anyway, no, there's not, Mike. But Rob has booked the guy who wrote this book.
Wow. Jason King.
Oh, these two guys are going to get excited.
So... It'll be Buzz and Joe, right?
When we return. But we've got a break.
Okay. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Why don't you go ahead and get the guy who wrote the book on the line? Let's see. Buzz, are you ready?
Ready.
Joe?
What's it called? The Canna Bible?
Yes. Joe? All right, get in here and let's start.
Joe's going to come into the studio?
Yeah, we'll get Joe in here. Where is he?
He's making his way down the hallway right now.
Here he is.
Hello, Joe.
Hi, Judden.
There he is now.
Hi there. How are you? I'm a little tired, like the rest of us.
Thursday. The boys just heard about this interview. They're both very excited. I was talking to them outside.
Yeah.
Should be very special. Okay, all about the Canna Bible.
All right, the guy is on hold.
Okay.
So, let me just double check and make sure he's there.
Is this the guy with the book?
This is the guy with the book.
Good, please.
The author of the Canna Bible.
Please stand by for Buzz and Joe.
All right, here we go.
We'll come right back to you. Thank you. Okay, now, this has been set up. Here we go.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news. Jacksonville, Florida. Chuck enjoys marijuana. So he decided to accept Paul Harvey's suggestion. He gave up. He went to the phone. He called me. He ordered a bong. Bong, that's a pipe used to smoke marijuana.
Uh-huh.
I want you to hear this carefully because you're thinking about Valentine's Day present for somebody you love very much. Quote, my marijuana bong arrived Saturday, and after I opened the box, I was in shock. My eyes were locked open wide. My whole house was now a concert hall. Quote, I'm listening to all of my old CDs again because I have never really heard them before. Quote, with heat eating your ears, you're gouging out and tearing loose and pulling apart, gulping air and tasting black. Your windpipe is closing and you've lost track of which way is out. There's a searing ember down your neck. Somebody's singed a kitten. Now, for that Valentine's Day gift, it's not too early for you to choose a bong. If you're anything but happy with it, I'll buy it back. To locate your nearest dealer, telephone 1-800-BONG.
Joe Arnger, Michael Elston, as Buzz Burbank.
God is their audience. The Don and Mike Show.
What do you have? Joe. And now, here's Buzz and Joe.
Welcome to the Buzz and Joe interview, and our guest is Jason King, author of a new beautiful coffee table book called The Canna Bible 3. Hi, Jason. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Jason.
Hey, how's it going, you guys? Thanks for having me.
The Canna Bible 3, because there were questions unanswered from Canna Bibles 1 and 2?
There's a lot of questions out there, and there's a lot of topics to cover, and, you know, it's just... It seems endless because there's more kinds of herb out there than I think than there are kinds of food.
Jason, where did you secure all the weed for this book?
Where did I secure it? I'm not sure it is secure.
Well, I mean, you must have had it to photograph it. Isn't that illegal in some states and counties?
Who photographs the buds?
I took all the photos.
Right on. Can you smoke the book?
It depends on how desperate you are. In some states of the Midwest, it has been smoked.
Can you use the pages as rolling papers?
You know, it has been done, but again, not advised.
Now, Jason, you didn't object when Joe called it weed, but I understand you don't really like that word.
Well, generally, a weed is something I try to eradicate, so, it doesn't really seem to fit.
How does that make any difference, though, what people call it?
Well, I think it's just the connotation, you know, it's whether it's going to be called slang, whether we still want to be viewed as stoner, hippie, retards, or whether we want to be accepted as intelligent, contributing members of society. I think weed is kind of, you know, derogatory and slang. I could be wrong. This is just my opinion.
Okay.
But I like to call it medicine or cannabis or herb or ganja.
But Jason, doesn't smoking dope kind of make you unintelligent and non-productive?
No, actually, it doesn't. Right. To me, I've certainly...
Well, I mean, you wrote a book. You wrote a book. And I noticed there are a lot of names. How many different names of pot do you have in this book?
Well, in all three books, there's been over 600 varieties covered now.
Right. Isn't really all the pot the same?
If that were the truth, then you and I wouldn't be having this conversation right now.
What are some of the differences?
The differences are incredible because unlike wine, which, you know, has all these different varieties, all these different types of grapes and all that, but it's all basically the same drunk. Whereas with cannabis, not only are every flavor in the entire universe covered, and a lot of them that just you can't even describe, but also there's different highs associated with each one. So some of them might make you really conversational or
guys,
active. Some
other, guys, I hate to interrupt, but we do have a phone call coming in. If the author wouldn't mind.
Call from a listener.
Yeah, but we have a call from a listener.
Go ahead, listener.
It's the connotation, you know, whether it's going to be called slang.
They got their radio off, and that seems to be, they're hearing the phone on hold.
Turn your radio down.
Turn your radio down, caller.
I think weed is kind of, derogatory.
Is there anything we can do over here?
Hold on, what was...
There seems to be a problem with the caller. We were listening to the rebroadcast. Now we've got that call. You're on with the caller. You're on with Joe and Buzz in our office.
The other guy's not on the line now, Mike.
Jason King. Oh, he's not.
He's not on the line.
Do you have a call? Do you have a question?
What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Come over here and get the guy back on the phone.
Sorry, Rob.
You know, we really should have set this up.
I think I broke a rib.
We should have set this up before we went on the air to have this so Mike and I could be the callers. All right, Mike, let's just do it.
And I was just trying to signal you that I'll set your call up. And I'll
do the same for you.
Okay, very good.
Here you go. Now you check the phone out.
All right.
Okay, now let's see if we hear you.
Hello?
You know, isn't that much better than what we did on our cell phones?
Okay. Hello.
Right. Got him.
I'd like to talk about sticky pot.
Okay.
All right. Okay, yeah, I'm giving it back to you now. I love talking on this thing.
Do we have the author back?
Jason? Do we have him yet?
No. Jason, what's his name? Jason King?
Jason King.
That's
King.
Correct. Jason
author
King.
Author of the Canna Bible.
Jason
Three.
King O'Pot.
Three.
Canna Bible 3. Having some trouble.
Yes.
That's because you know why we're having trouble skipping on the night? Because the producer is high.
Hey, man.
The producer is high, man.
Could you like wait till after the show?
Hold on a second. Let me make sure.
Only he weren't.
He comes up.
Buzz in our office.
The other guy's not on the line now, Mike.
Jason King. Oh, he's not?
He's not on the line.
Do you have a question?
No. What's your name?
Sounds good, though.
Hold yeah, on. I like that show.
Hello?
Hello?
Jason?
Is Jason there?
Jason?
Jason, are you there?
Hey, Jason?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay, yeah, so we really apologize. Now back to Joe and Buzz.
Welcome back. Jason, you were talking about the different kinds of marijuana and the different highs they can produce. Are there bad ones? Are there ones that should be avoided?
Hello?
Buzz.
Ones that I don't prefer. There's a lot of indicas that people are really into today.
Jason, I hate to interrupt you, but
drowsy, sleepy, kind of red eye.
Indigo. Jason, I hate to interrupt you guys. We do have a caller on. We've got. I'm not sure what the caller's name is, but he's calling from Sacramento. Let's take the phone call right now. Caller, you're on the air with Jason, Joe, and Buzz.
Hey, dudes.
Hey, caller. Go ahead. What's your question?
Hey, man. Here's what I want to know.
What's that?
Are you coming out to Sacramento on the 31st? I'll hang up and listen. Joe Artinger rocks!
Thank you, caller. Hey, Jason, I see there's a page in the book that says, Why Most Pot Sucks. Explain.
Well, the reality of it is that most of the stuff out there does suck, and there's a few crucial things that a lot of growers and smugglers and...
Jason, Buzz, Joe, we have another call.
Well, let's get
Go ahead, caller.
Hi, guys.
Hi, caller.
Mike, my question.
This is a high caller.
My question would be...
Yes, sir, go ahead.
I'd like to ask the author.
What is it?
What, in his opinion...
In your opinion, Jason.
It's the best pot.
What's the best? What's your favorite?
I got to listen.
What's the king with king? Thanks for the question.
You guys are killing me.
I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Ask him which is the best kind of pot, okay? And I'll stay on the line because I got one more follow-up question if you don't mind, okay?
We'll ask him. Jason, what is the best?
The pot is whatever you're smoking, man.
You rock.
Oh, he liked that answer.
Thank you, man.
Do you have another question, caller?
I forgot it.
Yeah,
bye.
I thought you would.
Jason,
goodbye.
I think I found a typo in your book. There's a certain type of pot called Euphoria, only it's spelled Euphoria. Explain.
Yeah, that's the way the breeder chose to spell it on that one.
Are they, there's almost like copyrighted names. We have another call, another caller for our author and Buzz and Joe, and Jason King, author of The Can of Bible. Caller, you're on the air.
Welcome. No, I'm not.
Yes, yes,
are you there? Yeah, you are, caller. You are.
Is it me?
Yeah, do you have a question for our author?
Is Joe Artinger there?
Yeah,
hi,
right
caller.
There.
How are you?
Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
Where's my dime bag, man?
Hey, man. Not here. I told you. I'll take care of it.
Where's Hey, Joe.
Yes.
Dave's not here.
It's May on the I'm Day Ag Bay.
Caller, do you have a question for our author?
I like earache my eye, and I like cherry pie.
I guess that's not the question.
And I like hair dye.
Cannabis smoker is a bad name, and I really want nothing to do with it. So you guys,
hey Jason, but wait,
hey, hold on, don't get angry. Don't tell me that the pot guy's going to get uptight.
You must not be.
Hey, bud, what's your problem?
Word for it, but like, I mean, every time I answer a question, I get interrupted, and you guys are laughing so hysterically, and the people, the questions that are being asked, like,
hey man, that's because we're down with your gig, baby.
All right, you know, I'm sorry.
Settle down.
Try
one
right here, please.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello. Is your author aware of the fact that that this is an illegal substance? How does he react to the fact that that this is illegal? I'll hang up and listen.
What do you think about the legal status of marijuana, Jason?
Well, first of all, medical marijuana has been legalized in 11 states now, and I choose to spend a lot of my time in those states, first of all.
Jason, about all these, did you try all these different types of pot, or did friends bring it around for you?
I definitely tried every single one of them.
Wow.
Wow.
Hello?
We have another call.
Oh, hello?
We have another call. Yeah, go ahead, caller.
Hello?
You have a question for our author, Jason King?
My name is Ty Stick.
Hi, Ty.
My name is Ty Stick.
How are you, Ty?
Have you ever watched Cat in the Hat movie? While you are high?
It's a good question, Jason.
It's so funny where Mike Myers come out as Cat in the Hat.
Jason, have you ever...
All power to Kim Jong-il. I will hang up and listen.
Wow. Jason, have you ever watched Cat in the Hat when you were high?
No, I don't think so, actually.
What's your favorite dope movie, Jason?
Definitely Cheech and Chong. In fact, I think those were the only ones that didn't suck. They're still timeless and classic and hilarious to this day. A lot of these other ones are
We have another call, fellas.
Hello, how are you?
Who is this?
I've got a question. I'd rather not identify myself. I'd like to know, if you're not inhaling, can you get a contact eye? I'll hang up and listen.
Is there such a thing as a contact eye, Jason?
I think if you were sitting in a car with four other people, each smoking a big fatty, and the windows were up, and you didn't have any tolerance, you probably could get a contact high, yeah.
Hey, Jason, do you use a bong or a pipe or roll your own, or do you want to use one of those vaporizer gigs?
Yes.
All of the above. Hey, do you have a favorite?
You know, I've always been a preferential to big fatties and really clean vaporizers.
Very good, then. Thanks. We have another call. Let's take another call for Jason King, our author of The Canna Bible.
Hello there.
Hi, caller. What can we do for you?
Hello there.
Who would this be?
Charles Pearson.
Hello, Chuck. How are you? Nice to hear from you. Are you high right now, Chuck? Chuck?
Hey, Mr. 40, how are you?
Mr. 40, do you have a question for our author?
No, man.
Okay, well, thanks for calling, Chuck.
Want to talk to my brother, Grady?
Yeah, is Grady on the line?
Grady here. Yeah. Hey, Grady. Talk to Chuck.
Yo, Grady, are you there? Do you want to talk to our author here?
Right, man.
I don't want anybody looking at me.
No, no, man. I just think it's a good show. You ought to be talking about this more often, man.
I thought you'd agree.
Yes, I think I asked Chuck whether he would have this call you up. But I just want to say I give you guys my props, man, for having this. This is good. It's good. What's his favorite kind of pot again? Can he mention that so I can try to write it down?
Favorite variety, Jason?
You know, it's impossible for me to choose a favorite. I did put a top 10 list in my third book, because, but even that's impossible.
Hey, Jason, when you got done writing the book, how did you remember to publish it?
I don't suffer from memory loss like that, and I don't appreciate the insinuation that all stoners are forgetful idiots. I'm an intelligent person.
What's your favorite video game?
I don't play video games anymore. I find them to be a complete waste of time, although I did spend thousands of hours playing them in my youth, and then I figured out, man, if I were to just take all that time
Hello?
To play music or do something creative or intelligent.
Hello?
Caller, go ahead. You're on with Jason King.
I love your show, Joe.
Well, thank you, caller.
I have a question for the man on the telephone.
Yes.
I enjoy smoking marijuana with my friend Joe and my friend Buzz every day when I listen to their show on Time Machine. My question is, you enjoy marijuana. Am I correct about that, sir?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. How come you sound like such a dick when you're on the phone with Joe and Buzz? I will hang up and listen now. Goodbye.
Hey, Jason, what's your favorite band when you're smoking? Do you like Skinner?
Favorite music?
Molly Hatchet?
Grateful Dead, Jerry Garcia.
Yeah.
No
right
question.
On. How about the Rolling Stones?
I would like to answer the gentleman's question.
Oh, sure.
Well, I mean, honestly, it's like we've had about 7 calls in a row now that are just people that are either acting so stoned that they can't talk or just trying to make trouble. But I mean, like,
that would be our audience, Jason. They're a rough crowd.
I think they're just having fun.
Let's try. You know what, Jason? Our apologies. Let's try one more call. If it doesn't work out, we'll let you go, my friend.
Hi, hello.
Yes.
I have a question for the author. There are a variety of different cannabises that...
Hey, Charles.
Hello, Don.
I thought I wrote
I have a question. I know you've been getting a lot of silly calls. How do we fight the stigma that surrounds marijuana use? And how can people realize that THC really does have benefits? I'll hang up and listen. And thank you for your service to our country.
Good. Our best question from Charles. Jason, how do you respond to that?
Can you repeat the question, please?
I think Charlie will probably repeat it this time.
Yeah, caller, are you still there?
No, I forgot. I completely forgot.
He was asking about the stigma.
I lost my head.
And the best way to fight the stigma.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, the best way to fight the stigma is to not even put up with this type of attitude that associates being a cannabis lover with being a freaking retard.
Hey, watch it.
Watch it. Don't throw that word
He's
around.
He's mentally retarded.
I'm not mentioning any names. I'm just saying in general,
yeah.
In the media
right.
And in wherever, cannabis lovers
well,
are
it seems to me that we've got the only uptight pothead in the world.
You are unusually serious, Jason, about this more than anyone I've ever met before. I think they're just kidding around here.
Are you a militant doper?
Maybe in comparison to some of your callers, I'm really serious, but I'll tell you what, I actually laugh my ass off about 7 hours a day and have a great time, so...
Yeah, well, it doesn't sound like it, dude.
Jason, do you have a job?
Yeah, I do. I have several jobs.
No, but I mean, it sounds like you really... I mean, we're having a little fun here, and you just can't seem to get into it.
Do you work at Taco Bell?
No. It didn't really find you all that funny, to be honest. Can do a lot better.
We have another caller on the line.
Another caller.
Hello, am I on the air?
Yeah, go ahead, caller.
Hi, this is Bruce.
Hi, Bruce.
I'm calling from the Bay Area.
How you doing, Bruce?
I'm doing great. Is the guest on the phone?
Yeah, we've got Jason right here. What's your question?
Jason? Hello, Jason. My name is Bruce. Can you hear me? How are you?
I'm doing pretty good here. How about yourself?
I'm super. I'm high, and I'm gay. And my gaydar has gone off during this phone call. I think that the reason you're so angry is that you're gay. There's nothing wrong with being gay.
No, there's nothing wrong. Let's let the author answer it. Is that true, Jason?
No, my gaydar went off on this man from the very first moment that he was on your telephone.
All right. Well, we'll ask him, Jason. Not that it's anybody's business, but are you gay?
So not even close. In fact,
you're such a liar.
The thought of another man's genitalia actually is pretty gross to me, and I don't think my girlfriend thinks I'm gay. So, no, I mean, not that I have any problem with gay people, but no, I'm
I guess that's just Bruce from San Francisco that does think you're gay. And I guess you two will have to agree to disagree.
Where can people get the Anna Bible 3, Jason? Where can they get the book?
Bruce's Gator needs to be tuned. Yeah. You can get the book from www.thecannabible.com.
Right.
And I apologize to any listeners I might have offended, but I mean, seriously, some of those questions...
Jason, seriously, you got to lighten up, dude. We're just having fun. Don't apologize.
For being a guy who wrote a book about weed, you sound like you got a stick up your butt.
see if we can do better than getting a guest with a guy about a guy who's got a coffee table book about pot. But I think we did everything we could with you, sir.
I guess we'll have to agree to disagree, Jason.
Keep on giving a bad name to stoners, and you guys have a great day.
Oh, screw you.
You've done a good job.
Hello.
And there he goes, everybody.
He was, well, that is the most uptight.
You know,
that is a miracle.
That is really a first.
He was amazed.
Quite informative.
I am amazed.
That is really a first. To piss off a weed guy.
How do you do that?
I know.
I've never seen Buzz in that kind of agitated state.
I thought it was pretty funny, though.
Wow.
It was good. We get a weed guy that's uptight.
The only one.
How?
Only
on this show.
Hey, guys, I can't seem to get a word in edgewise with these callers that you're getting.
Listen, you're giving stoners a bad name. No, we didn't give anything
well,
a bad name, dude. Jeff Spicoli did that in 1981.
Well, thank you, Joe, and thank you, Buzz.
Nice job, guys.
And thank you to all of our callers.
Yeah. Wow.
They were all really good callers.
Bill.
Everybody. Pictures are pretty.
Charlie.
Oh, wow.
I know we're up against the clock. Let's just call him back and ask him why he was mad.
Okay.
Ask him how it went.
Let's ask him how it went.
How did it
Rob,
go?
Rob just threw his number away.
I love it when the guy says, I laugh like 7 hours a day.
But not at this. You guys are better than this.
You're giving stoners a bad name.
I got news for you. We're not better than this.
No, not at all.
This is our A game. This is as good as we do.
I think we give as much exposure to weed as any show on the radio.
Sure. I used to like it all the time. Christ.
Never met anybody that serious about this subject.
Time, how do you think it went?
There you go.
Oh, boy.
Getting an earful.
He's getting it now.
Oh, boy. Rob is making the motion like,
getting a bowl full.
We parted as friends. I hope you sell a lot of copies of your book. Have a great day. Appreciate your time.
Bye, then.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Was he really giving it to you?
How'd that go?
He used the S word 4 more times in that conversation.
Really? What did he say?
Said it was BS, and you guys give an S-E reputation to cannabis enthusiasts.
So enthusiast.
The whole thing is BS.
Just like they're kayakers.
He did thank us for our time.
Oh, my God.
Hey, here's a non-related question, Kong. If that light is going off, did somebody hit the delay?
Yeah, he's...
He said the S word twice.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
I thought he did. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, right. Oh, the guy on the phone?
Dude, I thought it was inaudible, though.
Oh, the guy with the book?
Yeah.
Okay.
First one was not too clear. The second one, very clear.
All right. Well, that's what was going on there. That's good. That's good time capsule stuff.
Interesting. I love that. Wow.
Hey, Mon, you're giving stoners a bad name.
Jim Bogarth, that interview, dude. Wow, he's so uptight.
Amazing.
All right, thank you. Well, as I mentioned, the next topic has to be, and it's really a feel-good. Is Paul McCartney a spousal abuse candidate?
Uh-oh.
Did he stab Heather Mills? Did he choke her? And would he not let her breastfeed because that's his milk?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, Paul McCartney.
Wow.
Paul McCartney, making dude.
Oh, boy.
My favorite Beatle. I love Paul. What's all this? Who's calling now? Hello, Donna Mike Show. Every light just went on. Hello.
Oh, yeah. I was wondering if Joe and Buzz could come out and do some weekend trimming out in Quincy.
Yes, we can.
Everybody wants to call the guy who's not on the show now. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay.
I was just listening, and you guys are hilarious all the time, but I thought you didn't give that guy enough setup.
What? Hold on, we've got a junior director out there. I didn't realize that we were going to.
What do you mean enough setup? Explain.
Well, I mean that you had a guy on a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about Anderson Cooper, and he was hysterical, and he totally got it. But this guy, he was uptight. I admit that. But
Are you a stoner?
Hold on.
I used to be.
Yeah, so you liked the subject, right? You wanted to hear more about pot, didn't you?
No. You definitely could have set it up so that he had more time to answer. I think that. I don't know.
Here's the thing. Hold on a second. Here's the thing.
Okay, no. Go ahead.
Please hear me out for a second.
Okay.
This was not supposed to be an informative segment about weed.
It wasn't?
I mean...
He's the guy that really gave us a picture book. This book has a little text in it, but most of it is just pictures
of plants. It's just pictures.
I get that. I mean,
no, you don't.
I'm learning about pot. I mean, I'd turn on NPR if I wanted to do that, but...
Break!
All right, go to break!
Oh, okay.
Thanks for that.
Wow.
That was really nice to hear.
And incidentally, the one part he was lying about, he was a stoner.
That's code.
Give me a break. He was motivated to go, oh, I used to.
That's
wink,
code.
Wink.
That's code, yeah.
Right.
Well, I appreciate all the junior producers out there checking in, though.
Always.
Mike, let's make a note. Next time, we got to set it up better, and we've got to give the guy more time to talk about the weed. Less screwing around and trying to have fun. More serious talk about the pictures of weed.
Truly amazing who the audience wants us to respect, isn't
it? All right, we will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Right. Suck on that, losers.
I'm leaving you, found another woman, and oh, by the way, I never really loved you anyway.
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad.
Wow.
I'd let you in just so I could feel you on top of me.
No, I don't think I would agree that it's inappropriate.
I could probably teach you a few things, like, you know, some positions and moves.
Your behavior is outrageous and unacceptable.
Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me?
You are incredibly immature.
I'll make it feel really good for you, hon.
You can suck this.
Suck on that, losers.
Okay.
A division of Line One Industries International. The Don and Mike Show.
We got a listen, on the show tomorrow. For God's sake, you're going to offer up, I think we got a $250 cash prize tomorrow. What? Oh, everybody loves it when we go beyond the grave. We'll be going beyond the grave tomorrow.
Yeah, we think it's time.
It's about time, Crikey. And also tomorrow, beautiful, beautiful woman joining us on the show.
Oh, she's coming back on the show?
She is the loveliest leg that CBS Sports.
Yeah, baby.
Nancy.
Oh, Nancy, to talk all about football.
Hey, guys, I'm in Atlanta, with Michael Vick. Hey, guys.
Over the line with that pot-growing guy, guys.
Yeah, that's not good to encourage, but remember, I'm on the Atlanta schedule, so I'll call you an hour out.
Guys, anyway, so we'll have our good friend Jim Nance to talk about the NFL this weekend on tomorrow. And also tomorrow on our website, Dynamite website, the debut, finally, of our blog. I'll be the first to blog.
Yes.
And in case you were not here about an hour ago, had the thought last night, and it just came to me like that. This tool at DCRTV and everybody else that's pissing me off on the internet,
right.
I've decided that the best way to get my point across is to just have a blog.
Yeah, blog it, baby.
So, Dave Hughes, you like living behind words that are printed. Wait until you read my blog about the guy at DCRTV tomorrow.
You'll enjoy his blog, you hog.
On our website. So look for that tomorrow, okay? And just watch it. If you're on the web, watch it.
Watch.
Because once I got a blog, I can be just as dicky as you can on the internet. See, because the problem here is
with
that
words that are normally not used in broadcast radio.
Yeah, because the problem here is you got to think on the fly. You got to come up with something to keep the audience listening.
And you have those rules that are surrounding us that we have to adhere to.
But I will most definitely let Dave use those examples.
But incidentally, Mr. Pothead did not adhere to.
No, he did not. Now, about Paul.
Yes. As you listen to the song Stylings of Linda McCartney.
I, for one, okay, turn that off. Without sounding like
homo,
total homo, Paul really was my favorite Beatle. If you ask me who the best Beatle was, I would say it was John, but Paul was my favorite.
Right.
Okay, I mean, everybody lines up differently on this.
I'm a Ringo man.
But the one thing that I always liked about Paul McCartney that I thought I had in common with Paul McCartney, the way that he loved Linda. Where is she?
She's it's a musical interlude now where Paul's doing the singing and she's not backing him up vocally.
He really did truly love her.
Yeah.
And he loved her the way that I love my Frida. And I thought it was great that Paul McCartney moved on with his life as I'm moving on with my life.
Right.
Because that's what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always thought Paul McCartney was, even though he's rich as hell and kind of looks like Angela Lansbury, maybe, you know, the most grounded of the
Here
living Beatles. You know, because John is gone, but he was crazy anyway because of the Yoko thing. And then you've got Ringo, who is just, you know, the Larry Storch of the Beatles.
Huh. Hey, that's my Beatle you're talking about.
And George, who is gone. So now we've got Paul, who always has had a good rap and a good rep. I don't believe this, but here's what's going on.
Right.
So he's getting divorced from Heather Mills.
It's a nasty divorce.
Sure is.
I mean, they say he's been responsible for some of the pictures of her in her porn days.
Porn is the writer. This is how she is fighting back. Now you tell me what you believe. Here are Heather Mills' divorce papers. We want to thank the Smoking Gun, our friends at SmokingGun.com, for sending these along. In November of 2002, Heather Mills says that Paul McCartney grabbed her by the neck and pushed her over a coffee table. He was drunk. And he was so drunk he went outside, fell down a hill, and cut his arm. Here's more.
But like looking in a mirror, isn't it, Rob?
Here's more. In May of 2003, when she was 4 weeks pregnant with their daughter, she claims that Paul got upset with her and shoved her into a bathtub. And in August of 2003, Heather says that Paul became violent after she confronted him with Buzz, Joe, pot smoking.
Uh-oh, well, you know, he's had that trouble with the law before.
He yelled at her, he grabbed her neck, and he started choking her.
Yeah.
And now let's fast forward to April of 2006, months ago. Heather says that Paul threw wine at her from his glass.
Yeah, take some. Have some Pinot Noir, love.
He threw it in her face.
Oh, dear.
He then broke her wine glass and lunged at her, trying to stab her with a broken piece of it.
Wow.
And he cut her arm.
Oh, wow.
This is all according to her now.
It's alleged.
After he attacked her with a wine glass, he pushed her into her wheelchair, wheeled her outside, and screamed at her to apologize for winding him up. She says she has scars from that attack.
Who would have thunk it? Sir Paul.
There's more. That's the physical abuse. Here's the best thing. Here are her claims of the verbal and emotional cruelty.
Wow.
She says Paul McCartney is always drunk, and he continually is high on pot, despite promises that he made before they got married. She said that she was supposed to have the operation on her wooden leg last fall.
Boy, I see a movie, a TV movie.
Surreal.
Paul made her cancel.
Surreal.
Paul made her cancel getting her operation on her wooden leg because it interfered with his holiday plan.
I like the way you say it's the wooden leg.
Heather also says that Paul would not let her breastfeed their daughter.
What?
Because it would ruin his enjoyment. Now, this is in the divorce.
You mean like they'd get all bent out of shape and stuff?
Hold on a second. I am reading from the divorce papers filed 2 days ago. Quote. Let me turn that off. Paul says to Heather, quote, "Those are my breasts, and I don't want a mouthful of breast milk." Heather says that Paul also demanded she cook dinner every night, even when she was on crutches, after she broke her pelvis. And he would call her...
She broke her pelvis with one leg.
He would call her vulgar names.
Wow.
Oh. The C-bomb.
Well, that's unacceptable.
You can't ungrateful bitch. She also says that he refused to buy her an antique bedpan because he didn't want his house to be, quote, like an old lady's home. She says without her bedpan, she had to crawl to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night because he's only got one leg.
That's not right. I'm not giving you it. You didn't get the antique bedpan.
I mean, see... Now, Paul, we asked Paul. Now, we asked Paul. They asked Paul.
Is he given the opportunity to respond?
He has not officially responded to the individual claims.
Hmm. She's full of S.
His representatives say that he will not respond.
That bloody C is full of S.
But he will defend himself in court. Now, unrelated.
Yeah. It's getting ugly.
Yeah. I don't believe it. Let me just say this. Unless she had it coming.
There it is.
Now, one more thing about Paul, and then we'll go right to Buzz with the news. Boy, it's none of the good news for Paul McCartney. It's a bad day for this story to come out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you know that Paul McCartney, he just did this yesterday, has signed papers to cash in on his name?
Okay.
He is now... You got to remember all the way back to... Was the commercial for Nike where they first used... Revolution,
right?
And people were outraged that a Beatles song was being used in a commercial.
Sell out, sell out, sell out. That's
remember,
what they said.
And even we used to goof on Ringo for doing those dumb wine cooler ads.
Yeah, when he dressed up as a polar bear.
All right. Well, Paul McCartney now does commercials for some investment company.
Mm-hmm.
But wait,
and now they all do.
He has now registered his name as a trademark for the following products. These come courtesy of Heather, incidentally, who wants us to know that Paul is really a muddy grubby.
Oh, so she's setting him up for this, too.
Well, as it turns out, he did go to court to register these trademarks.
It's just
she has, like, made it...
She wants everybody to know what a bad guy he is.
She's made it an attachment to the story about him beating her up.
Okay.
Paul McCartney has now registered his name to be used, and he has licensed products coming out. Vegetarian food, including meat, fish, poultry, and game. Also, waistcoats, fancy dress. That's what it says, articles of fancy dress.
It sounds so British, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Waistcoats, articles of fancy dress, bloody boiled meat.
Overalls. We were talking about overalls before.
Right.
Paul McCartney overalls.
Hosiery. Dressing gowns, bathrobes, sports clothing.
Hello, my name is Paul, and I love my line of pantyhose.
And swimwear.
Here's my Paul McCartney Speedo.
Jesus Christ.
Boy, she's really out to get him.
But
if he did all this stuff, I mean, we'll see. I guess we'll have to find out in court. You know, normally this is a he said, she said type of thing.
I would tend to believe him, like I said, unless she just really just would not shut up.
And you can't spell a legend without legs.
And what is this? Rob found something else. Thank God we don't have the Yoko Award alarm anymore.
Right.
Yoko Ono.
Is she involved?
She's suing EMI. That's a record, a music group.
Right. She's got both her legs.
She is claiming. Yeah, she does.
Mm-hmm.
She's got three, as a matter of fact.
Oh.
Yoko Ono. Yoko Ono is suing for $10 million, claiming she's been cheated out of royalties from John's music.
You know, Yoko looks a little like Kim Jong-il. You ever notice that?
Yes, she does.
You put the right hairdo in the big glasses. Well, he wears the big glasses anyway.
And who would have thought...
The woman's glasses.
Who would have thought at this point in 2006 that the Beatle who has it the most together right now today is Ringo?
Ringo's skating.
Not only is Ringo alive...
Right.
Ringo is out on tour.
Happily married.
And... he's not in the news.
But, you know, it's really hard to feel sorry for Paul when CNN puts his net worth at $1.6 billion with a B.
Yeah, do you get the impression that maybe this all would not have been in the news if he maybe had a quiet conversation with her and said, here's this nice big fat check.
Take me check.
Yeah, but you know, I bet, how long was he married?
It always worked with my ex-wife. Give them the money and they'll shut up.
It's been like only 3 years that he's been married.
And she wanted like the billions of dollars of his money, right?
Wow.
And the other thing is...
I'm not giving it up to her. I'd rather push her into the bathtub.
I know one thing he's regretting.
No, you have to go pee. Crawl.
What's this? I'm not going to have some old lady bedpan in the house. You crawl to the bathroom.
Those are my breasts.
I don't care if you broke your pelvis and you got one leg. Make me eggs.
He was quoted before their wedding as saying, I don't want a prenup. It's unromantic.
Oh.
All right. Well, that's the latest on Paul.
Prenup. What an idiot.
We got to go to Bob.
What a complete stupid ass fool.
We got to go to Bob with the news here.
You got to be a real dumbass not to have one of those.
Oh, hi there.
Mike O'Meara.
How incredibly
retarded.
What a tard.
Mike O'Meara.
Paul McCartney, stupid tard.
All right, time for Bob's News tomorrow. Please remind me tomorrow also to tell you the most commonly misspelled word on Yahoo.
I don't want to do the show anymore.
Why?
Because we were talking about that, and I started thinking about it. Oh, why didn't I get a prenup? Oh, God. Come on, Mike.
Didn't you have fun when you wouldn't let Laura have that bedpan?
Yeah, that's the antique.
Didn't you have fun watching her crawl to the bathroom?
Would have been fine if she just got a new one. She wanted the antique one.
Just push her into her wheelchair.
It was ridiculous.
Hey, Bob's News.
Right.
Here he is, Bob Sanders with the news when we come right back.
Make me eggs.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Right.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Broadcasting from a studio made entirely of chocolate. The Don and Mike Show.
Kick the living ass out of me. Guys, we're Bobby Grimsley's news now. Bobby tonight brought to you by Cox. Brought to you by Cox Communications, your friend of the digital age. Cox services include local long distance telephone, high speed internet, digital cable. 703-482-6222. Now, here he is, my friend and yours, Bob Gurdley.
Yeah, baby.
The dude.
Hi, Bob and Mike.
Front yard, and I'm
sitting
with my clothes on. Came in through the window last night.
Yeah.
It sure is lit.
Lit.
L-I-T.
Sure.
I am Mild Worst Anime.
Is the collar there?
Collar. Before I put on my Darth Vader costume, which I wear because I find the dark colors slimming, please remember this good news.
That's right.
While North Korea is playing with bombs, South Korean scientists may have found a cure for cancer, including lung cancer.
Really?
It's a cure that might be a way around those awful chemotherapy treatments. Scientists at Yonsei University in South Korea have developed a new genetically altered strain of virus that's amazing in targeting and killing cancer cells.
Well, why would I play this? You said Star Wars, right?
He was talking about the bad Korea.
No, I said...
bomb.
I mentioned Darth Vader costume, but it really didn't have anything to do with the story.
Hold on a second.
Good news.
Serious.
Yeah.
Are you saying, this is legit? They really do believe they may have found something once and for all?
There have been viral treatments for cancer before, but none as effective as this one. This is a real breakthrough.
And Buzz, what does this have to do with Star Wars?
Really nothing, and I'm sorry I brought it up. I'm about to name another movie, so stand by.
Oh, really?
A human gene that creates a pregnancy hormone was combined with, cue the War of the Worlds music, the virus that causes the common cold.
The War of the
Worlds.
Wow,
that's the virus. That's the one that cures cancer?
Yeah, apparently so, yeah.
Jesus.
And it does look legit.
The War of the Worlds music.
Figure of speech.
Is this like, are all the newscasts tonight going to go bat crazy about this? I mean, is this going to be amazing?
I don't know how much coverage this will get initially, but okay. It may turn up in mainstream media in the next week or two.
Okay.
So watch for it.
I got it.
Speaking of viruses, what? Oh, you have the War of the Worlds music?
Yeah.
Because, in the War of the Worlds, it was the virus of the common cold that brought down the Martian machine.
You might remember this very scary. When the monsters come up out of the ground.
Hear them?
Here's one of them.
It's always him with you. It's always LR with you, isn't it?
It's to rhyme.
Well, my friend.
you got a problem with him?
I do.
You got a problem with LR?
Goddamn times do we have to play this crap.
Speaking of viruses, there's a chubby guy in a narrow tie who had to have been a little excited. No, not him. Had to be a little excited about this news today. Some of the Apple iPods shipped out from factories last month are infected with a computer virus.
Uh-oh.
Apple says it caught the problem before it could spread and that you may now buy with confidence. And just like in the
commercials... Sounds like some bad apples.
Ah!
Just like in the commercials, the chubby guy in the narrow tie always loses. The virus in those iPods only attacks Windows PCs. By the way, the commercials would appear to be working. Profits are up at Apple thanks to recent strong sales of Mac computers.
Those are the ones that I talked about that have the one guy who's the PC and the other guy who's the Apple.
They're so good.
Yeah.
And the PR is so good for those new iMacs that I'm actually giving some thought to switching over. And this is I originally was a Mac guy, and I had terrible time with it, and then I went to PCs, and now I'm thinking, Rob, it's changed.
The commercial,
of course,
it's the Prius of computers. And I think the ads have helped, but what's really done it for them is the sale of iPods.
Great. That's really good.
They're the Prius of computers. You're right.
So you don't recommend getting one?
Oh, I have one. Yeah, I do.
You have an iMac?
No, I have a Mac Mini, a very powerful, great for a media center computer.
Really?
Yeah.
And it's better for playing movies and...
Yeah, in fact, it's the industry standard for video.
Really?
Absolutely.
Now, what do you think on that? I'm polling my pals here to find out whether, that would be a move to make. I mean, I got myself a good old computer now, but it's, has its issues.
Here's my thing. I remember when Frieda would buy Apple stuff and it would always break.
Yep.
The only reason that Apple has come back is because of iPod. I trust them to make iPods. I don't know if I trust them to make computers. It's just the stupid way that I look
at it. No, but I mean, I'm afraid because I've had the same experience in my early computer days when I had a Macintosh.
And how much
and
of
I had,
it is,
I had horrible times.
How much of it is product placement now? Whenever you watch a TV or a movie, it seems that more times than not now, on the back of the computer monitor, you
right.
see the big Apple logo,
oh,
and
all
they
the
make
time.
Them look.
Yeah.
They make them look slicker than like
they are slick.
A Hewlett Packard.
That and the Sony Vaio is right. you know you right. see that more than anything.
You know, hey, call me old fashioned. I like Gateway. That's what I.
No, I know you're laughing
at me, mocking me. No, no. Gateway is more than fine. Here's why Gateway is great.
Uh-huh.
It does all the stuff that that other thing does.
Right.
And it's good for a dumb guy like me.
I've always been very fond of mine, dude.
Well, I'm not mocking you, but we're all getting older, and there's a new generation of computers.
And I love the boxes.
A new generation of computer users. And
like the cows.
The cow boxes.
New generation of computers to go with them. Would it make any difference? Are you interested to know that Mark Foley may have actually never had any contact sexually with anyone under the age of 18? That's what the FBI says. Details when we return.
Oh, all right. Thank you. Be right back, Bobby.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Let's get right back to you, Bobby.
Retarded Human Shield, Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Now, here's Robert Scarface. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Don and Mike. The FBI says it has not found a single shred of evidence so far that Mark Foley ever had sexual contact with anyone under the age of 18. The feds appear to have found enough evidence to prosecute Foley on a charge of soliciting sex with a minor. Here's another instant message chat between Foley and a teenager.
Oh, okay, good.
Teen. I'm not 18 till February 23rd. Foley, I know, nothing will happen, just dreaming, don't worry. See you February 24th.
Oh, God.
The FBI plans to interview every male page in Congress in the 12 years Foley worked there. Then it plans to talk to female pages because not all congressmen are gay pedophiles.
Female pages.
By the way, Foley did give the Miami Archdiocese yesterday the name of the priest he says molested him and started it all, but we don't have to wait to hear it from Foley or the church. The priest has now stepped forward, come out of retirement.
Who he?
Anthony Mercieca of Lake Worth, Florida. He admits having an intimate relationship with Foley, starting when Foley was a 12-year-old altar boy.
Pretty good.
Intimate
pretty,
as in...
Pretty good.
Gotta hand it to him for consistency.
As in skinny dipping, jeez. Sharing saunas and bedrooms.
Unbelievable.
Priest says it was all innocent. There was no inappropriate touching, he says. But he says he can see how young Mark might have taken it that way. He says he may have taught Mark some wrong things about sex. The priest admits that in those days, the priest...
I smell a rat.
...had a problem with tranquilizers.
I just smell a rat. It's too convenient for the guy.
Actually... I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah, way too convenient for him.
The priest is also asking why Mark Foley is dragging him out of retirement and into this. The priest, I think, felt he was going to be revealed anyway, so he just came forward. Multiple sources...
That sounds convenient, too, doesn't it? Yeah.
Multiple sources say Foley tried to tell his parents of his concerns about the relationship with the priest, but that his mother and Marine Corps father wouldn't listen.
Everybody is at fault.
This is
right.
The world's smallest violin for you, Foley, you goddamn pedophile.
Man, that makes me mad.
Christ. What better time, though, than 19 days till the election to be reminded of the potential for a terrorist attack on U.S. soil? Government says it was some guy in Wisconsin who put on the internet that radioactive bombs would go off in 7 NFL stadiums
Sunday. It wasn't my brother.
Good. Government says this is not a credible threat, even though it did notify the 7 targeted cities of the threat. Yeah, New York, Miami, Atlanta, Seattle, Houston, Oakland, and Cleveland were notified, says Homeland Security, out of an abundance of caution. Sunday is the final day of Ramadan, the Islamic holy month. Because it's an ongoing investigation, we only know the man who posted the threat is a young adult. His web posting said, be afraid, the death toll will approach 100,000 and countless other fatalities from the fallout. It's now been determined to be a hoax.
If it had been a terrorist attack, wouldn't they have bombed a stadium of a better team? What were those cities again, Buzz?
One of them was Oakland.
Yeah, I know.
The Raiders suck.
New York, Miami, Atlanta, Seattle, Houston, Oakland, and Cleveland.
Well, Seattle would be cool.
There you go.
You know what?
Let me think. No, that's, you know, Ed, that's too trite. Cleveland's a nice city. I was just going to say.
Oh, Cleveland rocks.
I was just going to say, if there had to be one.
So much.
Maybe with Cleveland, just to make sure you put the bomb in the river.
The river.
It's always about the river catching
the
fire.
So
much to report on Bad Decision 06. We have to fly through it. The polls and bookies say the Democrats will win control of Congress in the upcoming election. Karl Rove says he's confident the Republicans will keep control.
I'm very confident. As a matter of fact,
I'm supremely confident.
Despite polls showing his party at its lowest popularity point in 14 years.
Poppy, sit up and pay attention. This ain't no time to nap.
Does Carl,
I'm uncomfortable with that tape.
Does Carl know something we don't? Mm. He usually does.
Of course.
There could be glitches on Election Day. In Yolo, California, the new electronic voting machines for the hearing impaired only speak Vietnamese. John and McCain might have been kidding when he said yesterday that if the Democrats win, he'd commit suicide. We'd miss you, John. And a mighty political wind has swept across the plains of Kansas. 9 Republicans there just switched parties. The inherently funny dangers of being drunk and or stoned when we continue.
Oh, all right. Well, we're continuing a theme.
Nah, that's not funny.
You are giving stoners a bad name.
Enjoy my cocktail book.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
Don and Mike Show.
Forever straining at stool. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
And once again, well,
this is Bubba. Hi, Bubba. There he is. Hi.
Hi. Hi, Don and Mike.
Yum.
Finally, a 10-year-old boy in Pennsylvania refused to ride in the car with his parents because they were drunk and stoned. He decided this after Dad sideswiped a guardrail while trying to light his pot pipe.
Joe.
He also refused to let his mom drive because she'd been drinking.
Joe.
The boy jumped out of the car on a busy highway. Concerned motorist brought in the police.
Joe.
Parents are also charged with endangering a child. A teacher in Madison, Wisconsin was trying to do the right thing, teach the kids the dangers of alcohol.
Mad City Day.
Girl got her teeth knocked out, so I guess the message got through. He had the kids wear special drunk goggles. The goggles confuse the brain in much the same way a .10 dose of alcohol does.
Hello!
In other words, blind drunk.
Right.
That's why the girl tripped and hit her mouth on a desk.
Have you ever said no?
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
No!
So we gotta get out of here.
I gotta do a spell check on my blog. Yeah. Put that on our website tomorrow. DP. Yeah, DB. Yeah, and effer. Yeah, CS.
Oh, look forward to it.
We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode, everybody. Good day to you, Mr. Senator.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Hey, Gong Klaus.
Are you a black man?
See you tomorrow.
Yeah.
This is the Don and Mike Show.